Never give up on your dreams. Always believe in yourself. You can be anything you want in this world. I mean, look at me. With a little hard work and a lot of dedication, I fulfilled my dream to become the goddess of death.
Following program has adult language and potential spoilers. Listener be advised.
Fryhole made a good point, because I told him I was super excited about Ragnarok, and he said, don't put too much on it, because it could go sideways real fast.
Really weird looking.
Yeah, I love the directions going, but I'm really scared it's just going to go fucking sideways like 20 minutes in the movie, and then I'm just going to be like, fuck, what am I watching?
I think now? It could have been Guardians 2, where it turns out that it's just too weird for people.
Yeah.
And it's just really...
Fucking care. Guardians 2 is awesome. I've heard counter arguments. I don't give a fuck. The movie is awesome.
Yeah, they're dumb. Yeah.
Still brings a tear to my eye every time I watch.
Or they don't have any tolerance for man pain, which is what I kept hearing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a white dude.
Don't we have enough movies with God? Bro. It's another white guy who's hurting over a woman who has to die to give him his man pain.
It's like, yeah, but maybe the movie's just not for you. Okay,
fuck off. Daddy issues. Who cares? You're a white man.
I want you to have your movies too, but I still want my movies. Okay, yeah. Fuck off.
I love the movie. Just watched it like 2 days ago.
So Ragnarok. Hopefully, if Ragnarok is as awful as Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, I'm still fucking there.
But I don't think it's going to have that emotional punch that Guardians...
No, I don't
think... No chance in hell.
That's what I'm saying.
I would be so shocked if they somehow managed to get... I'm just not going to be able to cry over
it. Odin goes, I'm sorry I had to give your mom that cancer. To Thor's mom.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun!
Yeah, I don't see that happening. I don't see that kind of gut punch.
Because honestly,
I think it's going to be a party. I think it's going to be just a frolicking
good time. I hope it's going to be fun. I hope we walk in there and it's just like stupid fun.
Oh yeah, it's going to
be. I hope they have lots of fucking like Easter eggs in the background, like, you know, Skrulls and Kree and fucking Brood walking in the background, shit like that. That'd be great.
I think Taika Waititi, I hope that's remotely his name.
That's pretty close.
Just is taking the entire piss out of the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe and superhero movies as a whole. I hope it's just a whole like commentary on the ridiculousness of it all. He just totally goes balls deep in this thing.
You want him to go full Schumacher?
No, not Schumacher was camp. I'm not saying camp. I'm saying...
It sounds to me like you're walking a fine line between...
I think it is a fine line, but I'm talking about satire. I want it to be like this sort of crazy madcap satire of the genre. I'm hoping for it. But if it's just a cool action movie, that's cool.
It sounds like you're
too.
Wanting him to go full Schumacher, and I'm just not so sure
I think you want him to shake it up a little bit. Shake up the Marvel
universe. I definitely want him to shake some shit up, yes. Because I'll be honest with you, I just to cop to it, I am, at this point... Without a lot of logic to it, I'm way more excited for Captain Marvel than I am for Infinity War. Because I'm so hot for the Skrulls, and it takes place in the 90s, and we're probably gonna get like 90s CGI Sam Jackson, and Howard Stark, and Peggy Carter, and that movie, I'm just so fucking looking forward to that. Where Infinity War, there's so much shit that they've decided to bring in there, particularly like Thanos' acolytes and shit.
Yeah,
they gave him a new costume. It's like, we don't know Thanos well enough for you to be giving him a new costume already, and there's just so many fucking characters.
Actually,
I'm really afraid that Infinity War is going to be like a little baby disaster or something. I'm afraid we might have like 2-movie version of Age of Ultron kind of shit.
That's
going
what I was
going to
say. It's gonna be.
So I'm very worried about that. Where I'm really kind of hot for Captain Marvel though.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Superheroes Podcast. I'm Luke Machine. With me is...
Diablo Frank.
And
Mr. Fix-It.
And today we're here to talk to you about Thor Ragnarok. Insert promo now, Frank.
The goddess of death has invaded Asgard. Destiny has dire plans for you, my friend. Well, I have dire plans for Destiny. I'm going to stop her.
Alone?
Nope. I'm putting together a team. It's me, Loki, the big guy. And you.
This team of yours. Has it got a name?
Yeah, it's called the Revengers.
Revengers?
I mean, we don't have to have a name. We could have no name.
Done. And we're done. We went on opening night to go see Thor Ragnarok.
Which is a rarity for us.
Why don't they give out, like, posters and shit anymore? I guess Marvel doesn't need the promotion anymore.
I was a little disappointed, too. I wanted a poster.
We haven't got anything since the first Guardians, though, right?
I don't think so.
I got a Groot's head for Groot for Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Well, you had to actually buy a beverage, though.
Yeah.
So it's not a free giveaway.
But they were only giving out that weekend.
Yeah,
though.
But they didn't have like a Mjolnir box of nachos or anything.
It still counts.
Well, no, I did see. Apparently, there was some theaters that they would have like the hammer and shit, and you can actually take pictures with it, and it was like a special filter and shit like that.
Really?
Certain theaters, yeah,
I could see something like that, but that's that on.
That's way cheaper now.
Yeah,
we got nothing. Is the point though? First showing, nothing,
nada,
just pure enjoyment.
And we ponied up for the IMAX 3D too.
Yeah, I still owe you.
We went to the full one.
Well, yeah, but just because we ponied up, specifically Mr. Fixit paid for our viewings. Thank you for that, Mr. Fixit. They gave us those
cheapo
HPV 3D glasses. It was looked like a scum field that we had to get through to see the actual screen. So I think the 3D, they need to start to step up and start paying.
I'm taking my own glasses next time, man. Mine had like a layer of jizz or something. I don't know.
Why would you take them home?
No, dude. I wanted to
some from home. Okay, yeah. I should have bought some of those Wonder Woman 3D glasses when they came out.
Back in the day, we bought the Star Wars ones, and I still have my Star Wars ones, and I'm assuming that would work at any 3D, right?
As long as it's the same polarization effect, I don't see why not. Yeah.
It's not the blue and red ones.
The ones they sell at the theater. Like, you can get the special ones with the little characters on them. We bought them a while back, and so I was like, man, I should have just taken those fuckers.
Now, that's something they should do. They should offer, like, Thor Ragnarok 3D glasses, and you'd add an extra dollar to your ticket, and you get the fucking glasses. Doesn't that sound like a...
Yeah, I mean, honestly,
They did that with Wonder Woman, though. They did three different kinds. They're all kind of horrible. Because I love Wonder Woman, but everything is red, white, and blue, and yellow.
So they were like Tampax? Or what?
No. Were any of them like boobs?
But yeah, I thought they were kind of hideous, or they didn't look like anything Wonder Woman related. Anything about Justice League, maybe? Maybe I could catch like Aquaman ones or something?
Yeah, probably like Batman's cow, Flash's cow, Wonder Woman's breast. Aquaman's crown. I don't know.
Who do you want to recap real quick? And then
I'm not recapping shit.
The movie, where does it fucking start?
Okay, well, the movie basically starts with him in the cage with a skeleton, giving us exposition of what was going on up to that point.
Too much detail. This is a story of Thor traveling to Asgard to wrap up some of the loose ends we had at the end of Dark World, where Loki has upseated Odin and is running Asgard as
Odin. Spoilers for future episodes of the Marvel Superheroes podcast where we cover Thor and Thor the Dark World. As a combo, probably.
Right. He's there, fucking the jig's up on Loki. They go to Earth to try and find Odin. They run into Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange shows them where Odin is. Odin tells them, hey, dude, I'm gonna fucking die soon, and I've been keeping Hela, who is your secret sister, at bay, but now that I'm gonna die, she gonna come on, kick some ass. You can't let her get to Asgard, where she's most powerful. She shows up. They go to Asgard. While they're in the Bifrost tube trying to get to Asgard, she knocks them both out of the Bifrost tube, and they land in Sakaar, basically the Game Master's game planet, where a bunch of shit is always falling. He gets entered in the Contest of Champions kind of deal, meets the Hulk, meets Valkyrie.
Well, what is it? Okay, he's stuck in an alien gladiatorial arena, which I suppose was meant to resemble Hulk.
Yeah, Planet Hulk.
But since we only ever see one battle the entire time, it doesn't really get that across.
I mean, Hulk's wearing the gear.
It's really ultimately a very small part of the movies, is the Game Master and the Contest Champions, really, right?
True, I mean, yeah.
Anyway, the rest of the movie is him trying to escape the planet with the help of Hulk and Valkyrie. Who they meet, who is basically not a slave trader.
She's a total slave trader.
Prisoners with jobs.
That's right. Prisoners with jobs, as Jeff Goldblum would correct us.
Because he doesn't like the S word.
So he meets some other characters. Hijinks ensue. They get off the planet, fight Hela, blow up Asgard because they find that. Because the moral of the story is Asgard isn't a place, it's a people. So they basically have all the people of Asgard flee, and he intentionally causes Ragnarok to destroy Asgard, which in turn destroys Hela, because that's where she gets her power. Ta-da.
I think we went through it way too fast, but okay.
Really? Well, I think that usually we end up spending like an hour, 20 minutes recapping a movie, but people have already seen it or listening to this
right.
podcast.
Well, as the scenes are discussed, they'll get fill in on that. Yeah.
If you're listening to this podcast, you've already seen Thor Ragnarok, so we don't need to sit around and talk about it.
Thank you, Mac, for breaking that down so nicely.
Yeah, no problem. So
how did we like the movie? I fucking absolutely love the movie. I haven't laughed this hard at a PG-13 comedy in a long time. Most comedies I watch are really raunchy.
Well, let's be honest. Marvel is definitely pushing the boundaries of PG-13 at this point. Awful lot of off-color language in this movie.
It wasn't like fucking Deathpool language. I mean, like, Deathpool's a really dirty comic.
Deadpool.
Nobody was sodomized on screen over the course of Thor, so it definitely earns its R.
Yeah. Where, I mean, there were some jokes that definitely were, you know...
Flying into Satan's anus and stuff like that. It was definitely as blue as they've gone in these Marvel movies.
But it was still... So, I talked to a friend of mine today who took his three kids that age from 8...
Is this Freihold?
12, no.
Okay.
And 14, another friend of mine from my job. And
And he said this was one of the first movies where him and his kids all were laughing together. And he was like, holy shit, dude, my kids would not stop laughing. And then he said when he laughed, he got the jokes. The kids were there definitely for the physical comedy. He said Thor's like smacking himself with that shit. He said his kids lost their shit in their chair. They would not stop laughing, where he felt bad because he's like, people can't hear the movie because my kids won't shut the fuck up because they're laughing so hard. But he said it was so much fun because it was real laughter. Like, these kids were laughing their asses off. So he was like, dude, this movie was fantastic. So I was like, dude, cannot praise it enough. Like, I really, really liked it.
Yeah, I thought they did a really good job. I mean, I liked it too. Spoilers. I thought they did a really good job of making it funny without making it campy and corny.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think that that's a really difficult, which is why I think a lot of these comic book movies, they go serious with it. Because they think that, well, you can't be funny with a comic book movie. If you're funny with a comic book movie, you're Joel Schumacher's Batman. Or you're Adam West's Batman. Or now Deadpool has shown, well, you can't get funny with a comic book movie unless you're talking about, like, cum and shit like that.
Yeah,
you know
just
what I mean?
Getting really, really blue.
You go really, really blue and you gotta throw an R on it. So they're like, well, how do we do this? How do we make this funny without being cornball and cheesy? Well, and I just think it's genuinely hard to do, right? Because you're usually dealing with saving the world and you've already got people in colorful costumes and stuff. So I think it is probably intimidating to put real humor in it. Or you have the, you know, you're afraid of the diehards blowback, right? Where you're just like, what is Batman cracking jokes for? This isn't my Batman. My Batman's the Dark Knight. Or, you know what I mean? You're afraid of how the fans are going to interpret the humor. I think Robert Downey Jr. blew out a bunch of those. We should also say, we've talked about this before too, the Avengers side of the Marvel Universe doesn't seem to have those insane fans.
Yeah.
Like the X-Men fans did at the beginning of all this shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For the most part, you can kind of do whatever you want with Captain America without really pissing a lot of people off.
I think part of it though is
Thor.
That I don't think a lot of the current prime demographic for the comic movies currently, I don't think they grew up necessarily on those core Marvel heroes. You know,
no.
I can't speak for Mac because I know Mac was always the best of those heroes, but like me and Fixit, we grew up on X-Men.
Yeah.
You know, so that was what, I think we were both probably more hardcore into Batman historically than we ever were for most of the mainstream Marvel heroes, except for me with Cap. And Cap is still played very straight. He's the most straight-laced of all the Marvel heroes. So I think there's a little bit more flexibility because you don't have this stuff that was crystallized in childhood of exactly how these characters are supposed to be portrayed.
Like,
so you have greater flexibility with Tony and the lot.
I mean,
well, it's like they can't find directors for Star Wars movies because people are like, I don't even want to
deal with it.
I don't want to deal with the
fans.
And
look at they filmed an entire Han Solo movie. That my understanding is they've chucked everything and Ron Howard basically started from scratch again.
Well, you know what the biggest thing about that movie is? That
the improvisation was
that,
the problem.
But that they're actually going to show that famous scene where he talks about how the Millennium Falcon did the
Kessel Run.
Kessel Run.
So many parsecs.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, they're going to film that. And people are losing their mind because they're like, no. We want to imagine what that is. Don't put it on paper or on screen because then that's what it is. If I can imagine it and he imagines something different, that's what makes it special to us. And I think with Marvel, those characters...
Stop explaining the joke. Okay, we got it.
What?
You need to go through and break down the joke. You know, I'm using it as an example.
Oh.
Well, it's funny because they did do Nose Prize type stuff in there, though. It's with the Infinity Gauntlet, where they made a point of having the Infinity Gauntlet in Thor 1. And then in a few seconds, they just miss it because Healy comes along and says, oh, this is fake. Blonk. And then that's it. Fixed. No problem.
The thing I really loved was that the first two movies, which I own, they play the Asgardians as very Shakespearean characters and these very deep characters. And then she knocks off the fucking tiles off the ceiling and you find out, well, nah, man, Odin was a villain. He was going around murdering people.
Where do you think all this gold came from?
Absorbing power. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that line was fantastic.
Yeah, that was great.
I was like, holy, I'd never thought about that. Like, wait a minute. People didn't give him this gold. He went there and he took it. And the problem was he got his fill of power. She never did. She wanted more.
He had a conscience.
Yeah.
Odin.
I think
he was just playing. He was dad. So he was older. So he didn't.
I think he just got his fill where it's kind of like, you know, after a while you're like, holy shit, we've done way too much. And she's just like, I'm getting started. I want more. And that to me as a villain made it. I was sympathetic. I never saw her as a villain. She wasn't doing anything bad. She was just
massacring people.
But she, why did she do it? Because people didn't know who she was. She's like, do you know who I am? And they're like, no. I mean, dude, that great line where she gives this whole
speech. Fucked up rationale.
I love the way she talks about this whole speech about herself. And then the guy was like, whoever you are. And they're like, bitch, I just told you who I am. She's frustrated because they've erased her from history. And so, yeah, she's pissed because she's been wiped off. Everyone thinks that Odin came and made peace with all these different realms and like all this beautiful handholding happened. And it was like, nah, bitch, I was going around killing people. Like I was the war machine and no one knows this. Yeah, she's a little pissed. But I never saw her like, ooh, I want to rule the world. Like, she just wants to rule her kingdoms and keep doing what she did for her dad before he stopped her.
I get it that she was really only doing what Odin wanted her to do, right? I mean, it wasn't that...
Until he wanted to do something different.
Right. And so it's like, wait. So you've programmed me to be the war machine, and now that it's not convenient for you, you're going to just toss me into oblivion, right?
Yeah.
And keep me away? I mean, I get that, but also, she's not a very good person, dude.
I mean,
she was definitely the villain.
Yeah, well, mean, yeah, but to me, somewhat sympathetic. Like, I felt bad for her because she does. I don't think they ever said she chose that. It was kind of like she was pointed in that direction and she's just doing her job.
Well, keep in mind, too, she's the one who characterized the circumstance, too. She was writing most of the history. We didn't get enough of Doden to get inside the story, really. So,
well, no, I think near the end when he's like, I'm fading away, he was guilt ridden. Like, he's like,
well, sure. I think that I'm sure that there was a lot of truth in what Hela said.
Yeah.
But you're also getting only her side of the story for the most part. So it's kind of hard to know what really happened. You're saying it as though that's definitive. Yeah. So
that's an interesting take on it. I thought Hela was fucked up. So I think he stashed her away for a reason because she had an insatiable thirst for death.
Yeah.
She was the god of death. So it's hard for me to sympathize with the god of death. Yeah. Sorry. What were we just talking about? Oh, yeah. Humor. What did you think about the humor there, Frank?
So earlier this year, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And we all love Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
But like I would hear somewhat from the feminist circles where they're tired of these movies about how all the women, for the most part, just were kind of like slagging that movie. So much of the movie is motivated by the death of Peter's mom and blah, blah, blah. That basically kicked them out of the movie as soon as the movie's getting started, and they just couldn't invest in that story. Plus, let's be honest, it was kind of a guy's story, and it was a story that really fit all three of us in terms of our own biographical circumstances. So we plugged into that in a way that maybe other people couldn't have. So I can understand where those people would just not have be able to invest in the movie, even though it still kind of gets under my skin when they're like, yeah, I don't care about that man. I don't care about your man pain. It's like, yeah, but I love that movie. That was great. And then Wonder Woman came out this year. You motherfuckers just had no use for that fucking movie. And even though there were statements made that you were trying to go in there with an open mind, it was not very long before you motherfuckers were snickering in the motherfucking theater, okay?
It's the best DC movie to date.
Mm-hmm.
But you still don't, neither one of you liked that movie. And neither one of you plugged into that movie at all at really any point.
Please do not put words in my mouth.
Okay,
I said that it was a solidly just okay movie.
Okay, at best okay.
Yeah. At best it was okay.
Pretty much you never really got into the movie, though.
Only the scene where she's, what is it called? What's that scene? Where she's coming out of the trench. The trench.
Oh, okay, yeah, the No Man's Land.
No Man's Land scene, yeah. That scene was great.
But you, one of the things you guys were railing against in that podcast was how all these people are saying how awesome this movie is, and it just doesn't deserve to be kind of praise.
Totally, absolutely right.
And so, caught between these two extremes, where these are both movies that I enjoyed, and here's a faction that I have an interest in, that has no interest in Guardians, here's a faction that has no interest in Wonder Woman, and then all of a sudden I get it with Ragnarok, because I did not have any interest in this movie once I got started watching it. I was not in the movies at all, I was bored for most of the movie. I was just kind of waiting for it to be over. I chuckled a few times. I didn't appreciate the humor. It wasn't my kind of humor. I was telling Paquita, went ahead and called her on the way home, and at first she was saying, I don't want to know anything about the movie. I'll just wait and see the movie myself. And then she's like, no, I gotta know something. I'm dying to know. I told her, one of two things is gonna happen. Either you're gonna like it or you're gonna fucking hate it. And the more I think about it, the more I think you're gonna fucking hate it, because I didn't like it, and the stuff that you don't like about the Marvel movies is ramped up to 10 in this movie. I don't hate the movie. I'm not like, ah, it was terrible. I do feel like there was a somewhat contemptuous quality to the approach of almost everybody involved in this movie, to this movie, the characters, the subject matter. I was reading about how Chris Hemsworth had heard a podcast with Kevin Smith, where Kevin Smith was kind of dogging the Thor movies and talking about things that they could do to make the Thor movies better, because he wasn't really into those of all the Marvel movies. And Hemsworth agreed with him, and he basically went to Kevin Feige and was like, you know, we really need to kick Thor in the ass. It's like, there's a lot of stuff about Thor that I'm just tired of doing. I think really Hemsworth is tired of being the least popular Avenger. And Taika Waititi had no interest in making another Thor movie. They'd already made two of those. He didn't want to make those kind of movies. He wasn't interested in that. He wanted to fucking break this down into something and turn it into something entirely different. The soundtrack is completely different. A lot of the look is different. They blow up fucking everything in this movie that was related to Thor. And so it's hard for me not to feel a little bit of contempt. Now, you've told me that Fryhole, who's the biggest Thor fan among us, loved the movie.
Yeah.
So if he's a fan of the character and he was happy with the movie, then I'm glad for him, which gives me all the more of a reason not to have a dog in this race. I don't care. It's a movie that's defined by its comedy, and it's a comedy that didn't do anything for me. And I have trouble with comedies because I may love a comedy the first time, but then I need to like wait 10 years before I watch a comedy again because I gotta forget the jokes. And this movie was so jokey and so slight on the plotting and so lacking in real emotion. The comedy completely undercuts everything else about this movie. So if you can't plug into the comedy like I couldn't, there isn't a lot left there for you. Oddly enough, the things that I got the most excited about were some of the action beats. Like I really fucking loved the opening sequence where Thor's fighting Surtur's men and he starts really whipping the fucking hammer around and just blowing shit up to the tunes of Led Zeppelin. That was so fucking awesome.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
So incredible. We all do this. You all picture the movie. If you were the director, what kind of movie would you do? And those were the kind of visuals I had in mind if I ever got to do a Thor movie. So I was like, cool, I'm off the hook. He covered it. He nailed it. But then they blow up fucking Mjolnir and I don't get to see those visuals again. It kind of pissed me off, to be honest with you. So yeah, I didn't really like the movie and I didn't hate it. I'm not going to tear it to pieces like I do a lot of these other movies because I don't think it did a lot of things wrong. It just didn't work for me. So
that's a legitimate reason.
No, it's not. He's a fucking idiot. I thought that this movie could be very important for the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe because what is the director's name again?
Taika Waititi, I think. And I'm in no way putting myself out there in pronunciation.
That's what it
Yeah.
You realize he had like 4 movies under his belt,
mm-hmm.
and they were all independent,
like small budget,
not
yeah.
little tiny
small
movies.
Budget, because there are no real independent films yeah. in New Zealand. New Zealand has like a film commission that will give directors money to make these movies, but like super, super small budget. So he'd made like 3 or 4 movies.
Yeah, what we do in the Shadows is the only one I've really seen on cable in rotation where you could catch it if you wanted to watch it.
And Marvel said, why don't you come do a Marvel superhero movie? How are they not getting more credit for this, to give giving this dude the reins to a gigantic budget, major motion action picture that will probably end up being either, if not the most popular movie of the fall, winter, well, it'll probably be 3, because I'm sure JLA will make more money, and I'm sure Star Wars will make more money, right? But it could end up being 2, right?
My understanding is the estimates are that Thor isn't going to do over the weekend what Guardians did.
So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. But JLA could also just be a giant fart and make...
Yeah, we're waiting to see how that's going to work. Because there's a lot of estimates thinking it's going to still open big.
There's no way it's beating Star Wars. So, that's what I'm saying. It could end up being the second or third largest budgeted or largest grossing movie of the summer. And they just gave it to a no-name director from New Zealand. It's just unbelievable.
Well, it's very smart, though, because they knew Thor...
To me, that was the big deal.
They knew Thor was broken, though. And that's what's so smart about them. They realized that what they were doing had worked well enough for them to get over for now of the momentum of Marvel as a whole, but they knew they needed to make major changes with Thor, and they went with a real outsider to make those changes, and it, for you guys, it was very effective.
So I was listening to an interview with him, and they were like, so how much was Marvel like looking over your shoulder? And he was like, I never heard from Marvel. And they're like, what? And he was like, I never heard from Marvel. We shot it in Australia. I never got phone calls from... They basically just let me make whatever movie I wanted. He said the only place where I had some constraints were in the action sequences. But really, he's like, the action sequences are boring to me. And he goes, that's not where you really get to show your artistic side. It's in the comedy and actual acting. He goes, so I let them, whatever they wanted to do with the action sequences, they could do. I think they all turned out fantastic anyway, but he's like, that stuff bores me. Because you're sitting in like a green screen room with dots all over you. He's like, you want me to do this instead of this? I don't care. But he said, other than that, they let him do whatever he freaking wanted to. And I think that it was really, really effective for me, because Thor the Dark World was so just like manila envelope of a movie. I don't really think there's anything wrong with Thor the Dark World.
Every
time I picture a scene from Thor the Dark World, I feel like it's like an overcast day. Like, I feel like they're just in overcasted. It's just very blah.
It's very gray. Yeah.
Gray, bluish.
Back when they were really getting hit hard over the muted color palette that Marvel had been using, which is not the case anymore by any stretch of the imagination. But yeah, it's very there. It's just sort of there.
I kind of expected this movie to have... It looked like it was going to be funny, and I heard it was funny, but it was going to still... You're going to be touching on the... What do you call it?
Infinity Gauntlet?
Infinity Gauntlet stuff was going to be kind of laced through there, and I'm telling you, it was none of that for me. It was funnier than I thought it was going to be. I thought this movie was gorgeous. I don't think it was Guardians 2 gorgeous, but I thought the special effects in this movie were phenomenal, except for a couple areas I did not like.
Yeah, some of the CGI was a little dodgy.
Some of the CGI Hela specifically.
There was some DC CGI in this movie.
To me, it was all the Hela scenes. Not all the Hela scenes, but there were some scenes where I literally thought that Cate Blanchett was not there, and they needed to add a new scene, so they just CGI'd Cate Blanchett and had her talk. And even though, like, I don't even think her voice was the same. It was very, very weird. There were a couple scenes where I was just like, what did I just see?
There was a few scenes that I love that were like portraits. Like when Valkyrie's having her flashback.
The flashbacks were really nice.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
It was like looking at a portrait in slow motion. I was jealous because I didn't have enough time to soak it in all in. I was trying to look at everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that flashback scene was just mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of the one in Wonder Woman.
No, absolutely not. This movie destroyed everything Wonder Woman.
I'm saying
the flashback.
That's like Lifetime movie to a film. No.
I'm going to stop inviting getting double teamed by you guys.
The color palette invoked a Fifth Element for me. I thought it was a lot of Fifth Element.
The city.
The garbage everywhere. Well, not even just the city.
Well, the vibe and the type of humor to some degree were also similar.
I guess the life of the city, like, it always looked like it was in motion.
Yeah.
It never looked like the city just shut down.
Fifth Element was kind of a combination of Star Wars and Blade Runner, and this sort of has that going on too.
Yeah.
Well, except for, to me, whenever I think of Star Wars and Blade Runner, I think dark again. That's why. But Fifth Element, everything is just popping colors.
No, that's absolutely
true.
And
it's over designed to like freaking infinity, where even the clothing, everybody has to have similar clothing. Everything is
bright colors,
is designed like they couldn't even just use like phones. Everything's got to be
hilarious.
Wouldn't have phones on this cabin. They got to have this on this because they literally built this entire planet from the ground up.
Well, what's hilarious to me too is when you look at old Kirby comics, you can see where people look at that and you're like, you could never make that work in real life. You can never make that work practically. And this movie's like, fuck that shit. It looks fantastic. I want a Kirby house now. You know,
some of the characters in the back. Like when I buy this movie, I'm gonna slow mo it because I need to see what those characters looked in the back.
You didn't have two of the same damn alien on the entire planet. Every single one of them was completely different. It blew me away. I love love Jeff Goldblum in this movie. I thought this was
phenomenal.
I thought he was perfect. Perfect.
So fucking kooky.
Goldblum was just a little too Goldblum for me.
Really?
Yeah. He just a little too much. I've actually, in the promotion of this movie, I've found where my limits of Goldblum are, and he was getting my nerves just with promotional materials, much less the actual movie itself.
He was in full Goldblum.
I think you were just tired. He was fucking. I love that scene where he goes, you know, on your world, I'm a million years, but here I'm, and he just stopped. I think the whole theater just like held their breath, waiting for him to say something.
And then
he just kind of moved around. He did his little eye thing, and then moved on. And I was just like, holy shit.
He's waiting for his compliment.
He just fucked with the whole theater full of people. I thought that was great. I started laughing.
Now, Dr. Fate. Oh, Dr. Fate, you whimsical doctor. Thor and Hulk back with them fresh haircuts, though. T-H-O. I think you're meaning although, but I like your fluid, wet clay version of language there. Let's see, Hammond fan. Hammond? Are you talking about Dr. Hammond? I never thought I'd see Goldblum in a Marvel movie. Oh, but I guess life finds a way. Well, that's a quote from me, from another line. Well, thank you, thank you. Life finds a way. There's me doing it, my own version of it. There you go, thank you. Master Marmite. Marmite, isn't that awful food stuff? Oh, it's horrible, horrible. Goldblum is daddy. I think that's complimentary. I think that means I'm sexy. Daddy.
And I had mentioned in one of our previous podcasts when we talked about Ragnarok's trailer that I told you it looked like...
Which is still one of the greatest trailers of all time. That trailer is magnificent.
I thought that Banner seemed weird. Remember, and you're like, I don't really think we saw enough Banner to seem weird. No, I was 100% right. Banner was like, he's off. But they explain why he's off. He's been trapped inside the Hulk for two months.
I love the analogy where him and the Hulk are usually like, both of them are holding the wheel. But this time the Hulk was behind the wheel and he was in the trunk.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my God. God, I would have never thought, like, what would that feel like to be in the Hulk's head, but you're trapped, like, in a dark room. You know shit's happening. And, how, like, that's why when he came out all fucking weird and kooky, yep. I was like, you're right, yeah, I was totally
But he was definitely, he was weird and kooky, and he was off the whole movie.
Well, I want to say, too, I don't know if it was the actor or the director who was saying that there was some bleed over between the two of them, too. Hulk got smarter over that time period.
They've mentioned that before. And I'm a huge Hulk fan. Huge Hulk fan. Frank can attest to this, because he's known me forever.
Sure.
All the Hulk movies have always come out, I've always been, like, you know, the angle. I was like, jumping.
We really ought to do the Hulk movies. I'm more excited about doing the Hulk movies on this podcast than the Thor
that
movies.
That one, I own them. I was like, And then the Ed Norton one was good. It was okay. It wasn't the Hulk movie I was looking for. This was the Hulk movie I was looking for.
Somebody was mentioning that they're so grateful. I think it was Mark Ruffalo, in fact. He was saying he was so grateful that the legacy of an old-ass TV show is finally over and the Hulk can freaking talk in one of these things.
Yeah.
And I agree.
I love that. And I love the fact, because like me and my friend were talking about it at work, he said the best thing he loved about the Hulk, which I realized too, was he was a kid. Hell, at one point you said that. He's like, jeez, he's like my kid.
I swear I've had these conversations with my two-year-old.
I've had arguments with people where they're like, well, the Hulk, why is he so dumb? I'm like, you have to realize, Banner's 35. The Hulk is like 6 years old because he's only existed for a short amount of
time. Well, he's been living continuously for 2 years, which is why that made sense what he was just saying.
But the fact is that he really hasn't interacted with the world. So he's kind of like he's developing. He's like a child growing up. So that's why I love the way they played him as a kid, where the adults are having a conversation. So he's playing ball in the back. He's like, entertaining myself. I'm bored. Like, it's his way of saying I'm bored. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, I remember being that kid with my parents going to like therapy and shit, and I'm fucking in the waiting room like throwing shit around because I'm bored. It was perfect. Fantastic scene.
Yeah, I thought he was
Raging fire.
And the dick joke was funny too.
I am above average.
Oh, dude, the fact they showed Hulk ass, I was like, oh shit, dude.
We probably have nudity in a Marvel movie.
New level,
Hulk.
Dude. Hulk ass.
I hope they're able to keep talking Hulk.
I think they will.
I don't see why they wouldn't.
Yeah,
I think that was kind of a breakout for the movie.
I think they just needed to know that they could get away with it, and this movie was about taking chances. I don't know what happened to that word just now. Chances.
Chances.
I think that they wanted to do that probably for a while, and this was the movie they finally felt the courage to do it. So I expect it'll continue.
What do we think about Valkyrie?
I liked her. I love the fact that it was a battalion of Valkyries. It wasn't just one character named Valkyrie. They're Valkyrie. So,
she's a Valkyrie.
Yeah, right. And I thought that was kind of neat. Where she only survived because another Valkyrie sacrificed themselves for her to survive, and she's living with that guilt. That's why she ran away.
The only thing that bothered me about that was that nobody knows about Hela, but Hela's the reason all the Valkyries are dead, and Thor obviously knows all the Valkyries are dead, so why did he never ask why all the Valkyries are dead?
Maybe he thought it was a children's story or something.
I mean, I don't know. Well, I guess so.
I love the fact that they you could tell that they were trying to tie up a lot of loose ends with this movie. And I thought the joke was going to run thin on me, but I love that. All right, big guy, it's getting dark outside.
Oh, yeah.
I thought at first, I was like, man, that's pretty funny. And after about the third or fourth time, I'm like, are they taking jabs at the other Red Van?
I think so.
It
actually,
felt like they were taking jabs. I was like, they feel like they're talking shit now. Because like the first time was like, cute. Okay, I get it. You're not Black Widow. And the second time, you're like, okay. And then when they're running through the city, and he's like rubbing his shoulders and like, come on, big guy. And he's like, stop. And I'm like, oh, shit, man, they're really fucking throwing jabs. Like, that's he's talking shit to the Whedon. Like,
yeah, because Age Ultron's
terrible movie.
But it was not a terrible movie. There was a lot of good stuff in that movie. No, you have to get through a bunch of shit to get to the good stuff.
I just found the movie was fun. I really thought when we were going to walk in.
I think there were some shots in Dark World too, but they're escaping me right now.
Mm. Oh, no, they did.
The way they just undid Loki being the head of Asgard now was basically, oh, we sent him to Shady Acres.
They knocked it out in a couple
Shady
scenes,
Acres
yeah.
funeral home, or yeah. Shady Acres, not funeral home, rest home, is where they sent him. Yeah, well, let's just completely undo what they did at the end. Like, that, you would think that would be setting up the whole next movie. Instead, they just undid it with Matt Damon.
That was Although,
they did do a nice job.
How funny was that shit, though, with Matt Damon playing Loki?
Yeah, it was good.
No?
Yeah, it was
hilarious.
Yeah, it was cute.
Oh, okay.
It was nice. But I like, though, it did still have a major impact, though. Loki taking over from his father did set up a bunch of the stuff that was going to happen in this movie. So it's not that it didn't have an impact. It's not like they completely muted the ending of the Dark World. They just didn't dwell on it either. Kept the ball rolling. You didn't get to mention what you thought about Valkyrie, though.
Oh, I thought she was just okay.
I thought Tessa Thompson gave a great performance. I really liked the way she moved. She had this sort of like the physicality that I was trying to pin down, like how did she moves in a very particular way. And I thought it was very
like
interesting.
A warrior woman?
And I like she's an American. I liked her English accent. I thought she looked great.
Oh, wow, she pulled. Oh, okay, so she did.
Yeah, she's from LA.
Reverse Brit washing.
There wasn't enough of the character in the movie for me to really give a shit. She's not the character from the comics at all. I liked what I saw of her, but I didn't get to see enough of her to really invest in her.
You know, they tossed the Jane Foster thing away real quick in the beginning, so I think they're trying to set her up as the new love interest possibly to Thor, but if they did,
they don't
I
really,
didn't really
no,
get in. I didn't
yeah.
get any of it.
They might go there at some point, but there was no romantic
tension.
Well,
she wasn't
in
really into him. He was really into her. Like, he's flirty
with her. But even then, I don't think it was about a sexual thing. I think he was more like, you were one of the Valkyries. Like, I remember when you were a kid. That's what I got.
No, they've got one scene on the ship later where he's, like, impressed by her and stuff, but, like...
Well, she kicks a lot of ass there at the end.
Maybe they'll save that for the fourth movie, but if they were trying to foreshadow in this movie, I don't think they did a very good job. Just because I've heard that, and I don't know, maybe what I read was assuming, but I think that she's supposed to be the new love interest, not Jane Foster. That's why they got rid of what's her name.
Yeah, well, that and Natalie Portman didn't want to do it anymore.
Well, so. I don't think they really wanted Natalie Portman either, so I'm sure they were like, this is probably for the best, because nobody cares about you in these movies.
She got mad because Patty Jenkins was originally supposed to do The Dark World, and that didn't happen, and she'd only come back to do The Dark World because Patty Jenkins was going to direct it, so she kind of felt like she got bait and switched to do that sequel, and then was put out after that.
So we could have ended up with a Thor-like Wonder Woman movie?
Whatever you think about Wonder Woman, I do think Patty Jenkins would have done a better job on The Dark World than Alan Taylor did.
I'll give you, she would have probably done better with the act. I'll be honest with you. I like Dark World, but not, I love it. There's real problems with it, character-wise. Like, I'm just like, why are we doing this? Like, what is this taking place for?
Yeah. Plus, like Mac was pointing out, too, Dark World is so gray and washed out, and this movie's so bright and colorful. You can see a very clear, not only contrast, but I really feel like Ragnarok's a repudiation. Is that the one I'm looking for?
Scrabble 12 points.
Of what they were doing in the previous Thor movies, they were the most journeyman of all the Marvel product. The Thor movies felt the most like product. They needed somebody who's going to take sort of authorship with Thor, and they found somebody who had a very strong vision, and it shows in this movie that they clearly want Thor to have his own weight. He's been carried by Marvel the whole time.
That's what he said, is he was like, look, you couldn't pay me to do a Guardians movie. James Gunn owns Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I don't want to do that.
Even though he'd be one of the best guys, obviously, to do a Guardians movie.
Oh, yeah, he'd be phenomenal. But he was like, but Thor, there is no ownership of Thor. He goes like, no offense to the other two movies, but there's nobody has left their stamp on Thor.
True, so he
saw the opportunity that, and he knows Chris Hemsworth, and he freaking ran with it, man. I think it was just,
knocked it out the park. The humor hit with me all the way through. What do we think about the Coke characters? Like, all the other little characters that came
like
out.
Like, Kor?
Yeah.
Who was Taika Waititi, who did the voice?
I thought he was fantastic.
Freaking loved it, dude.
That deadpan, just delivery of everything.
Just, like, nonsense observations he would add in was freaking phenomenal.
It sounds to me that you and this hammer had a very intimate relationship, and losing it was the same as losing a family member. I was, like, dying laughing because he's just breaking him down.
Well, so you wrote a hammer? He's like, no. So the hammer wrote you? He's like, no, I would sort of just, it would pull me off. The hammer would pull you off. Freaking died.
That was a good bit. I didn't care about that character, but that was a good bit.
Dude, that character was fucking so much fun. Even though in the comics, he's more of a, in the Planet Hulk, he's more like Hulk's general. Like, he's the one that kind of keeps the band together, and like, Hulk goes apeshit and he's like, it's okay, everybody. He always does this. We'll be fine. Like, he's the one that kind of keeps the group together. So They even brought in the bug, Meek. Except Meek talked, and this one he was just swinging knives around and bouncing around, which I thought was pretty funny too.
Yeah, I couldn't invest in either of them. They felt like
Corey stole
humor
the show
relief
in this movie. So that's, but like, I'm really wondering if you're even conscious during this film.
Yeah,
because his
delivery,
he's almost Groot level.
Yeah,
at some point.
Oh yeah,
in this movie.
Thank you.
That's what I felt like. He felt like the guy who was created to be that guy he's the funny one. He's the one everybody's gonna steal the show.
No, I don't think.
Like, except he did it because he thought that it would be funny, and he was actually extremely surprised Marvel left any of that in.
Mm-hmm.
He was, in fact, they were almost begging me for more because they thought that it was so hilarious. So he created him because he thought that it would be funny.
I'm glad you liked him.
I think you're just being bitter.
I think this is what's happened. He's found a movie you and I like, so he's reverse Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
No.
Macho
Manning.
Mr. Fix It. You were watching, didn't you see me while I was watching the movie, while I was seeing you? I had my chin in my hand the entire damn movie.
Yeah, you made your mind up before we went in.
Wanted to like this movie. I really did. The trailers were fucking fantastic. Part of the problem. Maybe I was built up too much. I don't know. But
I really was walking in there thinking it was going to be a shitstorm.
Really?
Why? Because I thought they were going to do...
What made you think this wasn't going to be awesome?
Because, okay, so the Thor that they kept playing on those little mini ones with his roommate...
Were surprisingly telling about the tone and level of comedy.
But
I thought those were going to be just like jokes. I didn't realize the entire movie was going to be like those shorts.
So when I saw that, I thought, oh, they're going to play a dumb Thor.
Thor is fucking dumb in this movie. He has his moments, like when he tricks Loki and stuff. A fucking meathead, and they really veered into the meatheadedness in this movie.
Not so much a meathead.
I mean, he always has been, but like I felt like it was a circumstance in the first movie. Like in the first movie, he still hadn't realized the gravity of the situation of having lost his powers, and he's completely unfamiliar with the Midgard. It seemed like, so it was allowable. In the second movie, they let him be a little bit more mature, a little bit more sophisticated. He was downcast, especially after the death of his mom, but even before that, over the loss of Jane. But this movie, they just go full meathead. He really is Point Break.
I love that line too.
Yeah, but that's part of the problem I had with it. I was actually kind of surprised. I thought that maybe Fryhole would take exception to some of the ways they were handling Thor and his cast. I mean, they're so cavalier with killing off a supporting cast, with making him such an idiot. He really is a buffoon. Most people in the movie are foolish, and that got tedious after a while because they're all dumbasses. They're all a bunch of fuck ups. It really does feel like Guardians 2.5 to me. It very much is of a piece with those short films they put out with his roommate, whatever, the Doug. Mm-hmm.
I think you're just running harder.
And also, I want to talk about Loki too, because I thought that
really underplayed in this movie. Like, they like undercut. He was supposed to be like one of the big villains of Marvel, and he was dumbass in this movie.
I thought he was great in this movie. I think that because people are like, oh, well, you have to have Loki in these Thor movies to carry the Thor movie. And now I don't mind, because I think that Hemsworth and what's his name?
Hiddleston.
I think they play off each other so well, I don't mind it. I don't mind seeing Loki in these movies.
Actually, the elevator scene I thought was really touching. Loki always had this standoffish, and Thor was kind of like, well, dude, you were like my favorite person in the whole world. I've always loved you. And then I felt bad for Loki then, because you're like, you've been a dick to your brother the whole time, and he's put up with your shit no matter what. Like,
he doesn't anymore.
I think
in all these
movies, they give you a little Loki. Is Loki really the asshole, or is Loki just been shit on because he's the redheaded stepchild the whole time? I mean, which one is? I think they've done that through all these movies.
But it was a nice scene where Thor's basically like, but I realize now, no, I'm done with the shit.
I'm done with you. And then, of course, I love that. No, let's do get. I need some help, or I need help. And he's like, I don't do all that. It's so embarrassing. Like, no, let's do it. It's funny. I thought that was a funny scene. Yeah, like, I didn't expect to laugh at that.
I think they didn't need to do it at the end where he's like, let's not do get help when they're about to fight Hela. People thought that was funny. I didn't think that one didn't get me as much.
What do you mean?
Because they called back to that joke like 10 minutes later when they go to fight Hela. Yeah, when they go to fight Hela, and he's all like, I don't want to do get help. And it's like, well, come on, dude. Like, I know we're not going to do get help. You're like already standing in front of her. What are you talking about? But I think Hiddleston was great in this movie too. And I know for a while there, they were trying to act like he wasn't even going to be in this movie.
Yeah.
Where he was like, they haven't asked me to be in Thor 3. And it turns out he's basically a co-star in it.
He looked good in the suit. If nothing else, Bikini's going to like looking at that black suit he was in.
Yeah, in the beginning.
Oh, by the way, I fucking hated the Doctor Strange cameo. That was another thing that did not help.
I mean, it was so short, I don't really care.
Yeah, I mean...
But he was such a fucking tool, and it reminded me just how much I don't like that actor playing that role. Again, Loki looks like such a dumbass compared to Doctor Strange. He really got owned by Doctor Strange. So, I don't know, that bugged me too. These guys are Asgardian gods. They're still a big fucking deal, even in the face of Strange.
But
for Strange to be...
In the Marvel Universe, they're not really gods. They're just a separate space race. That's it. I mean, that's what I've always liked about it.
But it doesn't make a difference if you make Doctor Strange a god who could just warp anybody to anywhere.
No, but the point was, in the
Midgard?
High hierarchy of the Marvel universe, the Asgardians were like, you know, middle management. They were never like Living Tribunal or the Watcher. They're not that level of universal shaking creatures. They're above us and we look at them as gods just because we're below them. But they're really below so many other people. So I never saw them as like this like godlike character. I mean, I've read enough Thor where hell there's the Aztec god and all these other gods, they all hang out
with. Loki's a trickster. His most dangerous weapon has been his mind and his tongue, not his magical powers to go sin. So, I mean,
but he does have magical powers, and he has enormous magical power. In fact, so
not in comparison to Doctor Strange. I think have they ever shown that
in the comics? He's up there, man.
We're not talking about comics right now.
Okay, we're in the movies, but the movies are adaptations of the comic books. I really would like.
I've never seen in the movies without a cosmic cube or a staff.
And I'm not disagreeing with you. In the movies, you don't get to see him use magic, but he's used magic throughout the comics. He is a sorcerer.
Okay, well,
or he's actually a god who has magic.
It didn't bother me because in the context of the film, one, it didn't matter that he was falling for 30 minutes and then got zapped in, because that whole thing was just for them to find Odin. That was all it was just for them.
Yeah, basically people in the direction.
Which is another thing I found very tiresome, that long sequence at the beginning where it's like, now we're here, now we're doing this, now we're doing this, now we're doing this. It's like, slow the fuck down. Because once they finally got to Sekar and did settle down, I've got more bored, because I either wanted to see more gladiatorial stuff, I wanted to see more of Sekar, I wanted to see something a little more in depth, but instead, it seemed like the whole thing was, how do we talk Valkyrie into letting me loose so that we can get back to her?
And so they only
after rushing
two
so much,
hours of a movie to
right, but that's just
done.
It is they rushed so much of the plot stuff, obviously because the director didn't care about that stuff, so they rushed through that stuff at the beginning. Then you have this long part in the middle where it's them hanging out on Sekar and doing their little goofy bro-y comedy bullshit, and then a big rush toward the end for the fight sequence. So it's like,
so
rush,
let me get this straight.
Comedy section, rush.
You're upset they didn't have more CGI gladiatorial fighting, and you're upset they rushed through the CGA fighting of the villain at the end.
They did, yeah, because it felt like
I am perfectly okay with sacrificing that, because I thought the same thing too. I was like, oh cool, it's gonna be like maybe Hulk and Thor are gonna be teaming up and they're gonna fight through all these this contest of champions on the contest planet and everything, and you know what, after it was turned out to be the one fight where they beat the shit out of each other, I was perfectly fine with that. You know how many times I've seen video gamey, let's beat this level and beat this level and then beat this, but I don't need to see that. Why do I need
the boss battle?
Yeah, I don't need the boss battle. So let's get rid of that. And the same thing with the hella fight at the end. I mean, I thought that it was cool that I didn't think that they were gonna, because they had Surtur in the beginning and he explained that Surtur is the one that brings Ragnarok, not Hela, and he was like, oh shit, we can beat Hela by causing Ragnarok,
which I thought was a nice, like, I honestly through the movie I'm like, how are they gonna beat her if she's the most
powerful
character, like in the villain, you know, she blinded Thor one eye, she beats the shit out of Loki with no problem, like, so I was like, my fear was like, oh man, Odin's gonna show up or some shit, hug her.
Well, he did kind of show up there. So,
well, no, but they played up where, like, oh no, how are we gonna do it? We're gonna end fucking Asgard. We're gonna destroy it, and she's attached to it because she gets her power from the land. So when they destroy it, she's done. And I'm like, okay, but that's a nice little, like,
well, that she also gets whacked with Surtur's swords.
So. Yeah, I was like, okay, that's pretty damn cool. Like, that's a kind of nice way to wrap it up without like some goofy fucking, what do you call them,
Deus Ex Machina?
Moment where like Odin and her.
Well, except that they literally did a Deus Ex Machina, but okay.
Well, no, because we were already introduced.
Like,
well,
actually, two, because you've got Odin showing up to tell Thor the power was always within you, and then you've got Surtur showing up and blowing up Asgard and getting rid of Hela or Hela, whatever. So
I still think they did it in a
it in a way where you didn't mind, where they didn't overly.
Well, no, it was
but they still did it.
Well, no, it was a satisfactory ending, dude. I can think of.
I honestly didn't find it satisfactory. I didn't like the big boss battle there at the end. It was rushed, and then you don't really have a great finality because we blew up Asgard and now we're going to fuck off into outer space.
Cheese ball. Let's have Wonder Woman fight fucking Ares. That's the kind
of
shit.
Two wrongs don't make it right, because you're right. That was awful. That was definitely the worst part of that movie, is that long sequence. Yeah. This was not that. I'll give you that. But that doesn't make this good either.
It makes it better.
I'll admit it's better. But it doesn't make it good.
No, I think that this is how you do it. They foreshadowed at the beginning of the movie to all the talk with Surtur. They were setting up what causes Ragnarok. And then they go the other way and make you think that Hela is Ragnarok.
Right.
And then they come back around and say, no, we're going to cause Ragnarok.
Yeah, it's a good misdirect. I don't dispute that. Except that we saw in the commercial that Surtur was going to come back and fight Hulk.
Actually, no, because I kept thinking
so much of the shit got.
Yeah, there's some stuff missing.
Yeah, so it's like that shot where Loki's flipping the knives. That's not in the movie, right?
No.
Or how about when Hela catches the hammer and blows it up? They're in New York in all the commercials,
right? Instead, then all of a sudden in Norway.
Or in this one.
So that's a good point. So actually, I really, when that happened, I didn't think he was going to come back, because I thought, oh, it's one of those they filmed it just for the trailer to kind of get everybody hyped up. I was like, okay,
somebody's going to sue somebody at some point over that shit though, because they're doing it way too often.
I don't really even pay attention to the act. actual scenes that are taking place in these trailers anymore, because like half of these fucking trailers aren't in these
movies. Well, the thing is, movies. Like, me personally, watching a movie, the trailer, the movie...
Oh, by the way, in Inhumans, they did a special presentation of Thor, and I didn't watch it until I've actually seen the movie. I finally caught it while I was washing dishes the other day. The sequence where they're playing around with the security system in the Quinjet, and it's different on the version that they showed in Inhumans versus what's actually in the movie theater. Cut some stuff, it's, there's some lines that are different. Yeah. It's like, wow, shit, that even your promotional material a few days before the movie comes out isn't different. Correct. So, yeah.
Well, no, it's not correct. It's just different. I like that because when I watched the trailer, in my head, I was already kind of trying to put the movie together. So in my mind, when you see Asgard being blown by fire, I thought that was Hella.
That was Hella, right.
I thought that was Hella.
They did it on purpose.
Yeah. So when
Hella shows up, blows up the hammer, and then destroys Asgard, and that's the beginning of the movie.
That's totally not. Yeah, and I thought that walking into the movie.
That's a good misdirection. I do like that.
It's the whole walking into the movie, that's what I expect, and that's not what I got. And I was just like, that's why I think, to me, the movie did such a great job was I walked in there already thinking it's either going to suck really bad, where I pretty much saw all the cool parts in the trailer already. And they're like, nope, we're going to do a goofy comedy. And now some of the jokes did not land. That's fine. But for the most part, it was just a fun fucking movie. Like, I actually did not mind sitting there watching the movie. I was laughing. I was chuckling.
I laughed. I thought the movie was gorgeous. It looked different from basically every other. And some of the trailers made you think it was going to look like Guardians. And I don't think it did look like Guardians. No. Other than the color palette. And maybe if you want to talk about the musical choices.
I love that synth stuff, dude. That synth.
Yeah. Mark Mothersbaugh. It's funny because everybody was talking for years. Danny Elfman. You know, Oingo Boingo. And Mark Mothersbaugh's done so much incredible scoring work, so diverse, so much of it very distinctive, but not sounding the same, where Elfman's shit, everything sounds fucking the same. So it's great that he finally has a showcase to go, hey, look, here's my superhero movie. Here's my very difficult to ignore, you know, I don't want to say oppressive, but like the score of this movie is very strong. It really is hard to miss. It's kind of in your face, in fact. I didn't think it worked for me entirely. I thought it was good music. It just didn't really work for me in the context, but I really love his work, and I'm glad to see Devo get represented in one of these things.
So anyway, just to finish my point, I think that between the music, the pacing, and again, like these stories, all these stories are going to kind of be the same, where you got a bad baddie and you got to beat the baddie and how you're going to wrap up the baddie. But for me, it's kind of the journey just getting to the CGI action figure smashing. And I thought the journey was great. Again, like I said, at first I was like, man, I thought they were going to be fighting in this whole contest thing more. And when it turns out they really didn't, I was like, I'm fine with that, because I realize I've seen that a million times. So I don't need to see that.
You don't have to see like every character introduced with a new track,
because this
with
is
a song,
what,
and then they're going to battle and then get along and just...
Because, well, tell me something, though. You were a fan of Planet Hulk, right?
Yeah, I loved Planet Hulk.
Are you sad that you're not going to get to see that in the movie?
I got the best parts of Planet Hulk without having to watch... Planet Hulk is like fucking 30-something issues. It's huge. I got to see the best parts of Planet Hulk, and I'm fine with that. Like, the Hulk showed up in the Gladiator gear. Awesome. You had Kong and Meek. Awesome. This was not Planet Hulk. This was Thor. So, the fact that I got that stuff, I thought was great.
Well, I mean, because this is what it would have been. You would have had Thor gets close to one of the other combatants, and then he has to watch that combatant get killed in a battle, and he's going to get all torn up about it. You know, they didn't do any of that stupid shit. Like, because I could see it. It's, the more I thought about, oh, this is going to be a Gladiator-esque style movie, this is what's going to happen. And then they didn't do any of it, and I was like, this is perfectly fine. And in fact, the fact that I was expecting the other movie, and I'm getting this, I just much prefer it, because the Hulk was so good, and Chris Hemsworth is not a bad actor, but it's like those Thor movies made him a bad actor, because they were just, read these lines.
He had bad material.
Read these stale lines in these kind of stale movies with these sort of stale villains, or, you know, like the Destroyer, a CGI villain, or redo Superman 2, where he's like, oh, you know, I don't have my powers anymore. So in this one, he got to freaking just cut loose, and I was glad. I was like, look, that's fine. I'm getting a movie where Chris Hemsworth's talking. That's fine, because the material's good. So I didn't mind him conversing with Hulk, because he and Mark Ruffalo was so great as Bruce Banner. I liked them interacting, and they were also, it wasn't so disconnected from the rest of the Marvel Universe. There were still plenty of callbacks to Point Break being the password, and Tony Stark's clothes were what's in there, and he got to make fun of the Tony Stark,
the crotch,
you know, the crotch is all that, because like, those skinny jeans are so tight. And also, you know what I mean, like, so it still felt very much like a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, and in touch with those movies and interlinked with those movies, without really having any of the burden of being the third movie or being another piece of building up to the Infinity War 4 and 5,
even though they totally do that.
What do you mean, that they totally,
oh yeah,
build up to Infinity War in this one?
But this is one of the things I have a problem with the movie, is that it's so much is getting set up for Infinity War. I'm surprised you guys didn't catch this. We're in the darkest timeline now, because they already set up with Civil War. The Avengers are at each other's throats, and there's this team over here, this team over there, and these guys are all like like taking on new code names and putting on new costumes, and on hiding. Cap's gonna be like Nomad, and Hawkeye's gonna be Ronin, and all this kind of bullshit, you know? So it's kind of hard to see a situation without like a lot of couples therapy where Tony and Steve can be buddies again because of how fucked up their history is now, and because of the continued existence of Bucky, they can eventually reconcile. But with this movie, they do so much damage to the Thor universe. You know, you really think that Chris Hemsworth's gonna spend all the rest of the movies running around with a fucking eye patch and shit because he loses his eye in this movie? They kill Thor Warriors 3 like they're nothing. They're gone. Boom, boom, boom. Odin's gone. Asgard's gone. All this shit gets blown up, and now all of Asgard is stuck on a spaceship. They're not gonna keep that. That's not gonna be the permanent status quo going forward. They're blowing everything up because they know that at the end of the Infinity movies, they're gonna fix everything again.
Well, they're gonna reset the clock.
They're gonna reset everything. So that's why they're blowing all that shit up, and it's obvious that's what they're gonna do now. So it kind of spoils a little bit well, for me what they're gonna do in the Infinity movies.
Actually, to me, it's nice
because I know it's gonna go even darker from here because we're in the darkest timeline.
Because no. I can literally stop at the end of the last movie and say, okay, that's my Marvel, that's it, I'm done.
You're not going to do that, of course.
No, but you can do that. That's the thing. It doesn't feel like they're gonna drag it on and drag it on and drag with these same characters. They're gonna die off. I mean, it actually feels.
Didn't they say something? Well, okay, before we get to that, what I meant was it wasn't Age of Ultron burdening.
Right, right.
Literally, the whole movie is trying to tell you that Thanos is coming.
It's a 3-hour-long trailer for the next several movies. Yeah.
I would say the only foreshadowing to Thanos in this movie is in the beginning where he says he's been all over the universe and seen some really fucked up shit. Two, when Loki takes a glimpse of that cosmic cube and you know he steals the cosmic cube. And then three, at the very end, where there's the giant ship.
To collect the cosmic cube.
That's
it.
That's all they're doing that's going to have anything to do with...
Except for everything else they do, like blowing up all of Asgard and killing everybody.
But that's not fucking... Oh, things that occur in the movies will, yes, probably be talked about in other movies. That's completely fucking different to me.
No, because they're going to... they're specifically blowing everything up in Thor's universe so they can hit the reset button. You know they're speeding toward the reset button because they're going to blow...
That's such a huge fucking reach for what I'm talking about. Like, they're not throwing him in a pool and having him do flashbacks and shit. Like, I'm not grounding the movie to a halt.
It's definitely more artful. It's definitely better handled, but that's still what the fuck they're doing with that shit.
Well, dude, they have to get there. That's the whole point of the whole movies, is to get to those two movies.
Blow everything up so they can hit the reset button. Yeah.
Well, that's fine. I mean,
because now I can kind of see where we're going to be with Infinity War. I think this is going to be their empire. And I think they're going to try to out-empire by killing at least one of the two main guys, either Tony or Steve.
Oh, no, they're going to fucking wipe a bunch of them out.
Yeah. I kind of see, like, with Thor. Like, I mean,
you understand? I want that. I don't want, at the end of Infinity War 4 or 5, to have a happy ending. Like, I want there to have gotten there. I want there to be a struggle to get there, and they achieved it.
Okay.
That was my only beef with the original Infinity Gauntlet was that Nebula stole the gauntlet. And then, like, I remember I actually started rereading some of the old ones, but, like, at one point you have one where the Silver Surfer tries to grab the glove while everyone's fighting and they're trying to keep Thanos busy, and then Nebula takes the glove, and then it finds out he's self-defeating, and it was like, I mean, it feels like they really didn't know how to end it.
Infinity Gauntlet is a hot mess. I mean, I'm not trying, I think maybe you should go there when we get to those movies, but the original Infinity Gauntlet story, as much as people love that story, it kind of sucks. It's not a very good story.
I think they like the Infinity Gauntlet story because it has some really, really memorable moments.
I would say, like, the first four.
Yeah, the Perez stuff is the good stuff.
The first four issues are great.
When Ron Lim comes in, it falls apart. But the best stuff in Infinity Gauntlet is Infinity Gauntlet. It's the multi-part story in Silver Surfer where you see what happens if Thanos wins. That's the great story.
Yeah. Actually, I wish they had done Thanos' Quest. I think that's fantastic.
Thanos' Quest is a better one, too, yeah.
Isn't 4 going to be Thanos' Quest? They said it's going to be a caper movie where he's getting the gym.
Well, Infinity War? It looks more and more like it's going to be more like that fucking event they had not too long ago with Infinity, because they've got all the acolytes or whatever the hell they're calling the people that are working for Thanos, mm-hmm. which right off the bat pisses me off because I don't want to see these guys that are working for Thanos. No, that's a dark side shit.
Yeah.
Dark side's the guy who uses agents. Thanos does shit himself. He gets his hands dirty. That's why I like Thanos, and I'm not that into dark side.
I think we all already mentioned that I don't like the looks that they've already got. He's already got his four horsemen that are going to be wearing.
I'm picturing stuff like they've already set up Banner being afraid that Thor's going to take over. And I think what's going to end up happening is either Black Widow's going to end up hooking up with one of the Avengers. I'm leaning toward Falcon because he's the most available. I don't know, but I think she has to betray Hulk again, and that Hulk has to cut a deal with Thanos so that he can be Hulk all the time. I think that Hulk ends up betraying the Avengers and joining Thanos. I just see a lot of stuff being set up here that I can see playing out in the Infinity War.
I think you're...
We'll see. I mean, we're going to find out next year, so...
Yeah, I think this movie, for what it was a great movie.
What I mean is that I think somebody could watch this movie from start to finish and not have any freaking clue that it was leading up to Infinity War.
I can see that.
I
think it is. I think I very much see that myself, but I can see where you wouldn't have to.
Okay, that's fine. You said that was the big fucking problem with Age of Ultron, is they could not stop... Like, you realize there's a villain in this movie right now we're dealing with, but all they could do was every 5 minutes try and do use some fucking scene to remind you that Thanos is coming.
Yeah.
It's so fucking stupid.
Or set up the Black Panther movie or so on and so on. Right. Civil War getting set up.
It's like,
or, yeah.
Dude, you realize you've got your own story you're telling in this movie? And it's
and maybe, I'm wondering if maybe Waititi benefited from that. I think maybe Marvel realized they fucked up on Age of Ultron too.
I totally think they did, which is why I think that they just left him alone and they were like, hey, we got a couple things we're going to add here and there. Other than that, make your own fucking, you and Chris Hemsworth, because Chris Hemsworth's getting ready to fucking throw a two at Marvel and say, I don't want to do Thor anymore unless we do something good, which is something that, yeah, like we talked
well,
about.
That's also
Hugh Jackman should have done years and years ago, be like, hey, get serious about these movies or I'm going to leave.
Right.
I think they preemptive struck and they were like, we better make a good movie.
But it's kind of
like the argument, or let Hemsworth pick his director, so if it bombs, they're like, hey, sorry, buddy, you picked that one.
Right. Well, it's sort of like what you were saying with the Wonder Woman movie, though, where if they had done one sooner, it wouldn't have worked. I think if Hugh Jackman had Chuck Deuce in 2005, it wouldn't have worked either.
Yeah.
Well, he would just been that guy who used to be Wolverine.
Right.
Where today, they realize that there's cachet with these actors, that once people associate the actor with the character, and they can use that. That's very beneficial to keep using those same actors over and over again.
Well,
but at the same time, I do believe that what you're going to see in the Infinity 2 part is, as I've said in the past, I think you kill off Steve in the first one, you kill off Tony in the second one, and at the end of the second one, they reboot everything. You just have Tony alive again in the armor, and then you start the next series of Iron Man movies with the new actor.
With the new actor.
I think that's happening.
They have to. I mean, that's obviously. Or, because they're not going to abandon Iron Man, I don't think. I bet maybe at one
but
point.
But I think Downey is done.
In the cards.
You think so?
I think this is the end. I think he's pretty much telegraphed that, and they probably told him, shut the fuck up. But I think these are the last of Downey as Iron Man. Yeah.
But I think he's got regrets.
I think they're ready to recast that. I think he's
to some degree ready to be recast.
I think he's regretting that they didn't do more Iron Man movies at this point.
I don't think he wants to do it, though. I think he's too old for this shit.
I think now he's too old for this shit. I think he's seeing how good the Cat movies have been, and now he's going to see how good this Thor movie is. I mean, like, why the fuck did I fuck around so long, and we only got three of these movies? Remember, when was the last time Iron Man... When did Iron Man 3 come out?
It's been a long time.
It's been a long
time. I won't lie. I own Homecoming. I actually enjoyed that little scene with him and Peter Parker at the end.
Never saw it.
Oh, you never saw it? I own it, so if you want to watch it.
But
there's a great little scene at the end, and there's a making for another Iron Man movie there. Him and the director, Happy, John Favreau, they have chemistry. Fantastic chemistry. And just the scenes with them two interacting with Peter around, I was like, dude, I really like their chemistry. Like, they're just fun to watch. And they could so pull off another movie.
Yeah, but I think that's kind of the point of Homecoming and stuff. They're letting Downey have his little victory lap. He's getting to do his nice little moments where he's interacting with all these new guys and stuff. And I think that, you know, like I said, he's either dead in Infinity War or I think more likely dead in the second one, because this is his last rodeo. This is the last time he's going to get to do this character that revived his career. Because a few years ago, Marvel desperately needed Robert Downey Jr. I don't think they need him anymore. And they don't think they want to pay him what he wants to make. And I think he's just too old for this shit. Well, I mean, let's see. Any other characters we need to address or anything?
That was pretty much all of them. I mean,
yeah, I think we're good, yeah.
So I would slot this movie in my ranking. It's not as good as the two Guardians. It's high. I liked it better than Doctor Strange. I liked it better than Ant-Man. I liked it better than, I don't know where I'd put it with the Caps.
Cap is such a different animal, it's hard to do a 1-1 with them.
These Avengers movies are really killing the sequels all suck, or the third movies all suck kind of deal, because it's like they're going in reverse. It's like some of these movies are getting better and better with each subsequent movie.
Well, except for Cap.
Where did I see that? The Enchantress, not Enchantress, Hela in this movie is a lot like, there's a character, I think it's called, what's her name? Gore or something? You might need to cut all this out in the Thor comics.
I can't help you with Thor anyway. I don't think I mentioned it. I did like Kate Blanchett. She was sexier than I've ever seen, because she's so slinky. She slithers around.
Oh my god, the
role.
Way she walked and everything.
Yeah, and I liked her voice too, that attitude she projected.
Yeah.
And I just dig that her power was knives. She's going to shoot all the knives at everybody.
Oh, and, yeah. And they're not going to graze you and cut you. She was just straight
just stab
up killing
the
people
shit out of you, left, right, center. Yeah. And I like that. I'm so tired of these ambiguous powers where, oh, I'm going to lift this object and fling it at you and shoot energy and stuff. Like, no, I'm just going to stab the fuck out of you. So I respected that. You expect, oh, I'm the god of death, so I'm going to turn you into a skeleton or some shit like that. He's like, no, I'm going to stab you. I'm going to cut a bitch.
Yeah, when she was fighting Surtur, who I thought Surtur looked awesome.
Oh, yeah, he looked great.
Both
great
versions
effect.
Of Surtur looked amazing. I thought when she was like firing all the knives at him and stuff, it looked really, really freaking cool.
Yeah. I did love that part where he goes, well, the son of Odin. And he goes, well, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
It is weird because Hela is not related to Thor in the comics, correct?
No, I think that's another.
So. That's Angela, right?
Angela is his sister now, right? Yeah.
Or now she is.
But I want to say that.
Because I don't think Marvel has the. I don't don't. Maybe they do have the balls to bring in Angela. I'm not sure because that's a whole. You know,
well, they're not. My understanding, these movies are all trilogies, so there's not going to be another Thor movie. So
yeah, there's going to be another Thor movie. They're totally going to do another Thor movie.
Not with this cast.
No, they're totally going to do another Thor movie. I guarantee.
I think this movie was to
launch the next
couple because I bet they're going
to
get.
Yeah, Taika Waititi's already said he wants to do the sequel, but he doesn't want to do a Thor sequel. He wants to do a Ragnarok sequel, is what he said. And I think Hemsworth
is down for it.
Well, this part of the movie helped get.
Well, I thought he was replacing Odin at the end when he lost his eye.
But he's going to get the eye back at the end of the Infinity movies. I'm telling you, we're just in the darkest timeline.
I would love to see him like take on the throne like Odin. And
no, that's not going to happen. But also because
it happened in Jason Aaron's books.
Okay, Hemsworth has not gotten a lot of traction with his career outside of the Thor movies. Chris Evans could believe that he might retire one of these days because he wants to go off and direct. But his career as an actor, it's really Captain America and then the other stuff that he gets to do. He's had a few notable movies like Snowpiercer, but he's never really blown up outside of the Cap stuff. So, and he's getting older. They're all getting older. So I think that they're young enough to where they would like to have that job security. I don't know that Evans is going to necessarily quit, even though he's left that possibility open. Hemsworth, I don't think he's even hinted that he wants out. I don't think he's trying to get out. But Downey, I think he's just too fucking old and he's cost too much money and he's too much of a pain in the ass. They're going to let him go ahead and go. But I don't know that anybody else is leaving after this. I think they're just going to keep doing it. I think they're all going to be a bunch of Roger Moores or Jackmans. Jackman had a good long run and he still probably had a few years left in him. I think he just wanted to go out on a high note. But I think these are all guys who are going to be playing these characters for like 15 years and then they'll get retired.
We'll see. Anything else?
So Gore is Gore the God Killer from Thor.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about Scourge, man. I like Scourge better than pretty much anybody else in this movie.
Yeah, I liked Scourge.
That was all right.
Here's my stuff.
I got these from Texas. Got a huge laugh in the crowd.
Yeah. Oh, huge laugh. That was the biggest laugh of the fucking screening was Texas. But yeah,
real quick, you got the name of the guns, right?
Des and Troy. Yeah. Des and Troy. Yeah.
Des and Troy. Because when I put them together, they destroy.
Dude, I fucking was dying laughing. I was like, that's so fucking dumb. It was hilarious.
I felt bad because this is a pretty major Thor villain, and I wanted to get to see him do like actually full on villain type stuff. But I thought that Carl Urban's performance was so good, and he was the heart of the movie. He was like the only character because again, so much of it was laugh, funky. That I didn't get any emotional resonance for any of this stuff. They killed off so many characters, and I didn't care because they didn't make me care about it. The only person who was able to get across the human emotion beyond one upping one another and hamming, because there was a lot of hammy fucking acting in this one where they were like strutting. Like you could get that improvisation vibe, like I wrote this, I'm telling you my line that I came up with, and that was tedious for me. But Urban was actually playing a character off the page, and I felt like possibly out of the entire screenplay that was the one thing that got saved, where a lot of the other stuff got washed out by the improvisation. But I feel like that was something that was written for that character, and I thought that he portrayed that very well. I really liked Scourge in this movie. I do wish that he looked great, especially for a guy who's not that big.
He looked
he looked like he was big even though he was all the armor.
He did a lot of punchlines, like most of his movie was just Hela would do something, he would just kind of look over like, oh.
Yeah, but I felt like
but he never like killed this Asgardian. Like
no, because you could see that he was tortured.
I felt more like he was just doing what he needed to do to survive.
Exactly, he didn't care. But I never felt
like this fucking sense of this. Can you feel the strife in his soul? But no, it was just kind of
he was a fucking coward. He was scared because he could see that Hela could kill the shit out of him. So he was doing what he had to do to survive. But he didn't want to be an executioner. He didn't want to be compromised this way. He just realized that was the only way he was going to make it out of this situation alive. But you could see the torment in the guy, and I did like his heroic turn. At the end of the movie, so
nah, I thought that was true.
Did he and Thor ever really actually have any
one scene
interaction?
Just when they first revealed that he took Heimdall's place,
but he made it onto the ship, right?
Yeah, remember he jumps off at the end to save people because the zombies were making their way onto the ship, so he jumps off the ship to blast them.
But does he get back on?
No, he dies.
No, he dies.
Yeah,
yeah. He goes, hey,
see, just the simple fact he didn't realize he died just shows how badly this movie glosses over so much shit. He's dead. They killed him.
How did he die?
He jumps off the ship. Gunning down the Harryhausen as guardians.
Looked awesome.
And then Hela sees what he does and stabs him to death.
Does she stab him?
Yeah. Or she does the chunk, and then he's gone.
No, she hit him one time. It was just one blade.
It was just one blade?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, she impaled him and he fell like on a little hill and he died. That was it.
Okay. I missed that part.
Yeah. Another one, I did like that Heimdall finally got some shit to do, too. I mean, I thought he had a nice moment in Dark World where he's chasing after the ship and he destroys the one ship and he looks up and realizing, oh shit, there's a whole bunch of other ones, too. But I thought he was nice in this one. I think Elba actually got some to do this time, which was cool.
I was surprised he survived. I thought he really was going to die.
Everybody else did. No, I think he was saving his death for Infinity War.
Oh, I was really surprised. This movie did not end the way I thought it was going to end, because I've already seen the trailer for the Avengers movie.
I haven't yet.
Yeah, so. And so this movie...
I saw a recreation they did, I think. Oh. It was funky, yeah.
Well, I saw the trailer.
Yeah, I did see the trailer. That's right. I finally found a version of it.
Yeah, and this movie did not end the way I thought it was supposed to end, so I was kind of... That's when we were leaving. I'm like, wait, there has to be something else. Like, there has to be something else.
I was actually kind of surprised they didn't throw the Infinity War trailer into this one, just as a lattice.
People fuck are really you to Justice League. When are you going to put this thing out? Or?
Star Wars.
You think Star Wars?
Star Wars.
I saw a story pop up on my phone. We're talking about it, but I never...
I thought that the big... I thought that Thor might give you the big fuck you to Justice League by throwing it out there and be like,
no, they've dick whipped him so much. I think there's a point now where there's just like...
It's bullying.
My dick's imprinted on the side of their face. We're good now. They know where they got hit. Like, yeah. We're good. Because I know right now JLA's staying quiet because they want Thor to hurt him, get his shit over with. They can ramp up and be like, here we are. And there's no Marvel movies there's no Marvel movies around them for a while. Except you got the big nightmare down the street, you know, Star Wars. Which I already have friends who have bought tickets and are going to see like multiple shows. I did real quick, just for our fun. So apparently Disney's being a real big dick about the movie now. Because they know how much money they can make. That they're making theaters promise to have it on 4 screens at all time. The usual time is 4 weeks. They want it on there for 6 weeks guaranteed showings. By signing this agreement, if you break the agreement, the usual money I believe Disney gets is 50-something% of the ticket sales. If you break the agreement, they get 65, and they get it the entire showing of the entire run of the showing. And so a lot of theaters are kind of pissed because some smaller theaters are like,
we don't have 4 screens.
Well, no, not just that, but they're like, I can't show it because for 4 weeks because everyone in my town will see it in the first 2 weeks. And now I got to play for 2 weeks afterwards with complete empty seats, and I can't put nothing else up.
So they're strong-arming people for pretty more money, basically.
But they're saying this is the first time a company like Disney had that kind of pull or power against the theaters, because theaters have always run it. Mm-hmm. Theaters would dictate, and they said because The Force Awakens made so much fucking money that Disney just whipped it out and like, what are you gonna do?
That's the okay. When those Avatar movies bomb, I guess maybe they'll learn their lesson that they can't pull that shit. When the Avatar movies bomb,
if they ever come out, too,
they're gonna come out. They're gonna fucking bomb too.
I just I'm not ready for more Avatar movies.
I'm not up for that.
Still,
at all.
I still haven't seen the original
Avatar. Really?
No rush. No rush.
I saw it like 8 years ago, and I could not tell you anything except that they're blue.
I got it for free with one of my phones. They included the entire movie saved on the phone. Never watched.
Yeah, Bakita bought it for me to watch in the theater. I mean, she paid for our 3D seats because she wanted to get to take me to it. And I watched it and
she loved it.
Huh? No.
Bullshit.
No. Neither one of us particularly liked it.
I don't believe that.
But I was hesitant because she had paid for it and that was like kind of early on in our relationship. So I was like, I don't want to tell you, but this movie kind of wasn't very good. It's like, yeah, it wasn't very good, was it? Okay, we're all good. We're going to be okay. So yeah, are we done?
I'm assuming so.
Keep on chat.
Our first comment comes from Justice First Dawn. Walloping web crawlers, a new at-rolled spine covering Spider-Man. Our next comment comes from Chris. Definitely tingling, thanks. Our next comment comes from 20th Century Geek. Hold off on all reviews until I see it Saturday, then I will swing straight in. Did he ever swing straight in?
I believe this was the homecoming. If it's not in the comments, then he lied.
Got it. Our next comment comes from David Taylor. Yep, nope. That picture suggests that Peter had Spidey sense or something. What Homecoming focused on and did well was rooting the experience in being a sophomore high school in 2017. A+. What Homecoming did not do well was fully honor Peter and the Spider-Man mythos. No Uncle Ben equals not really Peter Parker's story. Just like they made other things new and fresh, they could have made that new and fresh. The Waynes die every time.
I do not think we needed Uncle Ben. I do think that he has a lot of legitimate issues with the movie. I obviously had issues with the movie as well. And I think Spider-Sense being a problem for you in a movie is totally legit. We've seen Uncle Ben die plenty of times. I do not need to see the Waynes die again. I do not need to see Uncle Ben. You can still tell a Spider-Man story without Uncle Ben. It's already in the 2002 movie, so go see that.
Our next comment comes from Ron Daly. My biggest complaint
was... and the fucking Amazing Spider-Man too, right? Didn't they kill them in the Uncle Ben and Amazing Spider-Man as well?
Probably. I can't remember.
Enough.
Our next comment comes from Ryan Daly. My biggest complaint was that Tony Stark is Peter's moral center rather than Ben. However, the change was executed well for the film. Our next comment comes from... Any comments on the show? I didn't see this fucking movie, so I don't know why I'm reading these. Are we not going to make comments on the comments?
I didn't have anything to add. I made a comment just a minute ago.
Okay, but he saw the movie. These are comments on his podcast.
And everyone knows how I feel about it already.
Jesus Christ. This is why we don't get comments anymore, assholes.
We received likes from Amzel von Canterbury, Backseat Directors, Pico Django, Blue Girl, Bob Buster, Bronze Age Babies, Chris at Bat Books for Beginners, Comic Book Vault, DGC Studios, Dwight L. McPherson, Good Times, Great Movies, Gord Tolton, I Am Grant Richter, John D. Knoll, Just Dudes Being Guys, Longbox Crusade, Paladin of the Green, Patrick and Dennis, Podcast Radio, Sean Merrick, Steve Sellers, Terrence Castanguay, Tony Siponi, Willie Yarbrough, and Yoart.
Our next comment comes from Pakaita Global. Ha ha ha, now it was me that was put in the corner for arguing. Exclamation point. Our next comment comes from Keith G. Baker, where Frank and Paquita go full J. Jonah on the menace of Spider-Man and Fix-It defends the Stark military-industrial complex. Our next comment.
Yeah, I wonder, did you feel anything like how I felt during the Wonder Woman episode, you cunt?
Not one bit, because not once was shit flung at you, but still.
I will say for sure, I did not hear a negative review as negative as this motherfucker's over here of Spider-Man. And in that podcast, you would be like, oh yeah, man, I would like the way they did that. I mean, this fucking movie sucks. Like,
they hit it because it was a white man.
There had to be half a dozen times where you had to literally restrain yourself from complimenting it to talk more shit about it.
I got a big feeling about that.
I think Homecoming was fine. It was okay.
I felt the same way about Wonder Woman.
You know, I really liked the way they had it. I mean, it's...
Gee, that's funny because you couldn't stop bitching about that movie either.
Nah, I was bitching about all the praise it got, which was that I was a little overboard.
Yeah, Homecoming wasn't overpraised. It just was, but it was just fine.
No, I thought it was a good movie.
I mean, it's made a ton of fucking money. It's the number one superhero movie of the year so far.
Homecoming
until Ragnarok. Yeah, Homecoming is the number one superhero movie of the year.
No,
yes, it is. No, Wonder Woman is still.
It didn't make shit globally, so no.
No, it did okay internationally, but it made more money.
I guess
in the
it
US.
Did okay for a girl movie.
Fucking Mac. I saw that coming, dude. How could you not see that one coming? But please continue.
It did better in the United States than it did internationally because the United States does not seem to be quite as misogynistic as large parts of the rest of the globe. And that's what part of what was so surprising about it is that it did so well in the U.S. market. It definitely outperformed a ton of movies, including Spider-Man and Deadpool domestically. But when you factor in the international audiences, Spider-Man is the higher earner.
No.
But then Ragnarok's going to come out and destroy that. So forget about that shit. Or Justice League. Maybe. Maybe Justice League will do international business.
Actually, I'm really excited for Black Panther.
Yeah, that
I really want to see Black Panther.
We have avoided, or at least I have avoided talking about Black Panther. So let's go ahead and break the ice on this right quick.
Boy, I'm boy, and we are floating on the beyond. Going till they take my bro and out them CDC yards. Prison system broken, racial war commotion. Until the president get that, she Vincent won't be voting. We need to meet position equals in that Oval Office. Obama ain't enough for me, we only getting started. The next Bill Gates can be on Section 8 up in the projects. So till they love my dark skin, bitch, I'm going all in. Gas break,
I was bored by the trailer. It bored me. I was so like, that's it? That's all you got? Especially because it came out after Ragnarok, and Ragnarok was so fucking like Enthusiasm Viagra. Enthusiasm Cialis is what Ragnarok trailer was. Where after that, then Black Panther comes along, and it's just like, that's okay.
Well, I think Black Panther's going to be very, I'm a king, and you're a queen, and we've got diplomacy, and we've got technology.
I don't know.
I think they're underplaying it.
They may well be. In the very early days, too. You got to remember, that trailer came out months ago, and the movie's not coming out until February. I've loved the production design I've seen on it. I love really the costumes. Pretty. The costumes are fan-fucking-tastic. Yeah. Everything I've seen in still photographs, like the Entertainment Weekly spread, looks fucking phenomenal. But the trailer just kind of let me go on in.
Well, the problem, though, is that like they already killed his dad, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're kind of missing out.
You've already kind of lost the origin story.
That's a big motivation for the characters.
Well, I think there's a story they're not telling us.
Like, yeah, but...
There's got to be. But this story could also end up being illegal mining in Wakanda. Illegal vibranium mining fucking bullshit like that.
Advanced looks at the toys have spoiled something kind of big already.
Don't
so
talk about that.
Yeah, so I'm already like, what happened? I wish I didn't know that. there was a toy promotion.
It's like a vibranium vibrator. That's the toy he's right. talking about.
So yeah, so it there's some spoiler stuff out there, but I'm still looking forward to it. I just, the trailer didn't do it for me though. So that's why it's not really in my headspace right now. That's why I'm looking forward to Captain Marvel more, because the possibilities of that movie's got me more excited. Well, I've already seen a trailer for Black Panther. It didn't really do it for me. It's two directors. It's a male and female director, but I don't remember the names because
the Skrull War. I think that's gonna be pretty damn cool.
Oh man, the Skrulls! I'm so excited for the Skrulls.
Because
Ryan Daly had a premise for his Justice League movie that borrowed heavily from the first JLA arc under the Morrison Porter run, and also borrowed from the Steve Englehart story, JLA minus one, the secret origin of the JLA, and it all involved like the Martians and a Martian invasion. It's like, that would be so cool. That's the movie I want. That's the Justice League movie I want to see, not them redoing Avengers, which is what Justice League looked like it's going to be. And so then I hear about Captain Marvel. It's like, that's the movie I wanted Justice League to be. That's the movie I wanted the Martian Manhunter movie to be. They're going to do the Skrulls. It's going to be fucking awesome. So I'm really hyped about that right now, because that's a bunch of movies that I hope to get that I'm not going to get, that I've already seen I'm not going to get. I'm kind of, so now Captain Marvel is probably going to be like the Vision was in Avengers, where I was so hyped about the Vision, and then the Vision ended up being kind of an asshole, and I kind of don't like that character now. So it's probably going to be that. And I'll end up fucking jizzing all over Black Panther instead, probably. Because that's a character I have a lot of affection for. I just wasn't in that trailer though.
Well, that's some bizarre imagery.
Yes. Step into the spotlight. So can we talk about the Black Panther trailer? What did y'all think?
I'm still not into the Black
Panther. Really?
The problem is we had this discussion previously, and I'm not sure where that discussion is going to be. If I don't know how long this is. Hopefully, I don't think it's too long. We haven't talked that much, right?
It's because normally 9/10 of our movie podcasts are recapping a movie people have already seen.
And we're only just over an hour. So
we haven't gone on any tangents. We haven't gone on any tangents. You've kept us riled in pretty well.
We've talked about Wonder Woman 5 fucking times in this movie.
Yeah, but that's because we need a bash. I haven't bashed on it in a while.
That's right. It's kind of
Frank is here.
Now I think that the discussion we already had will be part of this, so I can just sort of insert if we have anything new to add, or if we don't, I just won't. But I think that Black Panther, as far as the, just like with this movie, like I didn't really like this movie, but I love the look of it. That's part of what got me through the movie, is while I wasn't into the humor, I just loved looking at it. It was so pretty, so colorful, such great costume designs and everything else. And I actually like the costume designs of Black Panther better. I think that looks fantastic. I love the use of color in that movie. I do think they maybe go a little too far with the sci-fi shit. I know Wakanda's supposed to be advanced civilization stuff, but they're like full on fucking outer space bullshit. They're flying around in spaceships and shit. So I don't know about that stuff, but I don't know the story yet. All I've got, the movie, both trailers are really more about attitude, more about like giving you a few cool
swag.
Visuals
and swag.
You know, hail to the chief, you know, whatever it was. What's the rap song they have in the trailers?
That was by Run the Jewels.
Okay.
Which one is it?
Respect something.
I can't know. I gotta.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. So anyway, so the trailers are all about attitude, and I don't respond well to attitude. I'm a story guy. If the story's there, I plug into it. I don't know that the story was in Ragnarok, which is part of why I couldn't get into it as much. It's more about the bits, it felt like, than the story. It felt like the story was this thing they had to get through to get to the bits. I think that Black Panther will hopefully have more of a story to it. You guys would know better than me, because I haven't seen any Ryan Coogler's movies yet, but I don't see enough of the story yet to plug into it. So it looks kind of cool, but I'm not excited for it the way I should be, because I don't know what the story is.
I'm intrigued because it doesn't look like what I was expecting.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I like it or not, but there are parts of the trailer that kind of turn me off.
The flip?
For me, no.
You like the flip?
For me, I think the music's a bad choice.
Yeah, it definitely alienates part of the audience.
It's too, just like, we just picked a top 40 rap song because it's a bunch of black people in this movie. Like, that's the way it feels to me. I could be totally off base. But then, like, I really don't like Michael B. Jordan, right? That's his name?
I like him.
I really don't like him. He just seems like he's the same dude in every movie.
Well, I kind of like
that. So he's all like, yo, I'm gonna watch the world burn and all stuff. I'm like, really, dude? Like, and then he's doing like the what with his arms up and stuff, and I'm like, this isn't really what I was expecting. I don't know.
He's playing a villain. I just really wish he wasn't playing Eric Killmonger, because he's not Eric Killmonger at all. You know, he would actually be way better as the White Wolf, I think, and that would be still a bit of a stretch. But I can see him as the White Wolf. I can't really see him as Killmonger, but he's playing Killmonger. So
I just don't think Michael B. Jordan has any range. I think he's just Michael B. He's one of those actors. Who's
he's not tall though, right? He's not. How tall is that dude?
I have no idea.
He doesn't seem tall though, right?
Killmonger's is real tall.
Killmonger's gigantic. He's a mountain. He's gigantic. Yeah. He's enormous. Yeah.
But it just seems like he's gonna just be Creed in this movie. Like literally, Creed ended, and then he got on a plane and flew to Wakanda or something. Like, I don't know. My
frame of reference is more Johnny Storm, but it's still, look, Johnny Storm got on a plane and flew to Wakanda.
Yeah, so. I mean, he's just kind of the same dude in all these movies, and I feel like that's not what we need for this movie.
The hair's funky too.
Yeah, and I don't know. But
I love the fucking
and the CGI
body modification they did on him though. I think that looks really fucking badass. Which that I'm helps the body modification. He's got all those lumps all over his body. That looks cool.
Looking. Yeah, that does that. I'm curious to know what that's all about. But
well, it's just cool. African. You know, they do that. There's some of the African tribes that do the implants.
I think maybe we should wait to see the movie before you just assume it's
okay.
It could be fucking he got injected with powers, dude. Let's not go crazy that he's got a fucking big disc in his lip.
Although that dude does have a big disc in his lip, though. That one dude
does, but that is definitely African culture. I don't know what they're doing with Michael B. Jordan. I'm going to assume is some sort of cultural body modification. It could be.
That's what I'm saying. I think that's exactly what it is.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Okay. I'm also not going to call it them or they or whatever you call it. Made me a little uncomfortable. But yeah, so I don't know. I think that the trailer is perfectly fine and people seem to be really excited about it, but I don't know. I think I got to see.
I'm glad people are excited for it. And I like what I've read online and heard from other people, and I've actually seen myself too, is black women are plugging into that trailer more than anybody would have expected. They're really getting off on seeing
Michonne
badass.
Looks rad.
Huh?
Michonne looks rad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they all look fucking awesome. And there no Marvel movie has had the cast that Black Panther's going to have. That's an incredible fucking cast. But yeah.
It wasn't Michael B. Jordan.
Except,
I just don't like that dude. I don't know what it is, but that dude is just so black.
I don't dislike him. I just thought I'm not wild about him.
Who's the dude that plays T'Challa?
Chadwick Boseman.
Chadwick Boseman, to me, I'm a huge Chadwick Boseman fan.
Yeah.
And
I've been
happy
with him.
Chadwick Boseman is actually acting. Like, he's.
You believe that he is who he says he is.
Right.
Yeah.
You tell me that guy's the King of Wakanda, I'm like, sold. That dude's the King of Wakanda. I don't know who Michael B. Jordan is supposed to. Again, he's Creed. They flew Creed over. I'm like, okay.
And again, I think he's going to be White Wolf, which you remember that, right? You read Panther, right? The pre-front?
I did.
Remember the guy that was the head of his security agency who was the half-son or something of the king?
Yeah.
So he was like white or mostly white. And so he always resented T'Challa because he couldn't be the king. But he kind of oversteps himself. He's like an overly, he basically takes initiatives he shouldn't as though he were royalty because he can see what Wakanda really needs. And the king is just naive and misguided and he has to kind of step in to help him rule, basically. So I can see Jordan playing that character a lot easier than Killmonger. Killmonger's a whole other thing. Hell, just the simple fact that apparently he's going to be having the Black Panther armor is like, well, that's kind of a White Wolf thing. That's not the Killmonger thing. So why use the name? I don't know.
Maybe it's a misdirect.
We'll find out.
Well, all right, back to the comments. Our next comment comes from Bronze Age Babies on the Homecoming podcast episode. They say, Spider-Man 2 with Doc Ock was my Spidey movie. Homecoming may be for the 21st century, only no MCU crew. Through that lens, I could like it. Our next comment comes from William Preston. But Raimi Spidey was ultimate Spider-Man with yes nods to other comics. This new one nails the high school world feel to me. Our next comment comes from Michael Wagner. Nice to have Paquita on the Spider-Man episode. We getting some more of that podcast superstar? Next comment comes from Martin Gray.
Well, just to chime in quick. We will hear a little bit more Paquita. I'm kind of trying to carve out a little niche for her as well so she can do some stuff too. Part of the problem is I cannot get her to read a fucking comic book. So that cuts her out of a whole bunch of shit. But she's got a little something coming up. We'll see how that goes.
Maybe she should start a one song Uno. Uno song.
Surprisingly close, actually.
Uno song Yo. Two.
Yeah, surprisingly close, actually.
No, songs that remind her of Frank.
They're all going to be Anthony Bum Bum or whatever that dude she listens to. What was that guy?
Spoilers for Paquita's podcast.
We got retweets from Ange, Between the Pages, Ed Moore at Indie Comics Fan, Marvel Bronze Age, Miskatonic, and Urban Fantasist, Siskoid, and Talk Nerdy to Me. Ryan Daly noted of episode 76, ABC's Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season 1, been waiting 19 years for this. Chris wrote simply, woohoo! Caroline Wells wrote, yee yee yee! Harry Allen the Flash, nostalgic man. The One in the Eighth Sage, the one season that just wasn't that good. Each one past it kept getting better, with season 4 better than all DC shows from last year. Fanholes Podcast wrote, I don't know if given the timey-wimey nature of the release, you already know this, but Lorelai was Enchantress's little sister. And at some point I did recall that really nice Walt Simonson piece from Ohotmu, but I really needed the memory jog. So thanks to Derek William Crabb for that.
Our next comment comes from Martin Gray. It's the podcast that is far from pants. Bidets
I swear to Christ, Martin is just making shit up and expecting us to buy it. And for the most part, we do. I do not believe that in the world, pants is a verb.
Bidets are stupid and
or an adjective.
Bidets are stupid and unnecessary. Keep away. I think that's a trick, too. He wants us to smell like shit if we ever go to Europe.
Actually, he recently came to us. He went up to Boston and to Canada and I think to Norway or someplace. He did like a cruise where he's hitting all these locations and he went out to Norway,
which is right next to Canada.
No, he's doing like a big round trip back to Scotland. He originated in Scotland. So he hit Boston. He actually had dinner with Dr.
Scotland. I'm pretty sure you keep saying he's from Scotland and he gets very upset about
this. He's not from
like Scottsdale or something.
He's from England. From Scottsdale. No.
Bro, he's from fucking Scottsdale. He went to NAU.
Not with that accent. No, he's English, but he lives in Scotland.
London Bridge is in Arizona. They moved it.
Yes.
I'm not even joking.
I saw the TV movie where David Hasselhoff fought the reincarnation of Jack the Ripper back in the 80s. Okay, I understand what you're saying here.
Friday, a world movie premiere.
Jack the Ripper is alive.
Knight Rider's David Hasselhoff, Hunter's Stephanie Kramer, and one of history's most famous killers.
He's out there. We gotta stop him.
He's watching their every move, but together, they might survive. Jack the Ripper has found a bridge across time, Friday.
However, Martin Gray, Englishman who lives in Scotland, who took a boat to Boston and hung out with Dr. Ange and Ryan Daly.
I love it a lot better that it turns out he's Martin Gray from Scottsdale, Arizona. And this whole time we've just been totally misreading his tweet. And he just was like, all right, these idiots are falling for it. That's fine.
I'm Irish.
That's where all the bullshit made up words come from. He's trying to fake it badly.
Fucking Scottsdale, man. Rad. All right, our next comment comes from Illegal Machine. It just says penis. ? Why did I send that?
I don't remember.
So who knows why I sent
maybe
penis.
The podcast gave you a
hard. And you can't even search it because I'm sure it'll pop up 1,000 times in my timeline.
Legal Machine penis? No, I think you're thinking of Mr. Fix-It.
And dreams. Let me see. Our next comment comes from Ryan Daly. The long, 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 long delayed Secret Wars episode? Well, I think that's still delayed. Did that ever come out?
No.
Ah, okay. Oh, I think these are guesses as to what our next podcast was going to be. Our next comment comes from Dr. Ant.
That is correct.
More Tigra? Joke answer. Defender's actual answer. The next comment comes from me. Martin Gray, oh yes, I'd love to do a Wasp episode, but I can't get any of these clowns to read anything, which is still true. Our next comment comes from Miles Coverdale. Correctly guessed Patsy Walker and the actress who plays Patsy Walker on Netflix. Our next comment comes from Ryan Daly. I barely remember recording my part of this episode back in 2012, I think, but it's a good one. Check it out. Our next comment comes from Justice First Dawn, one of my mom's favorite characters growing up. Can't wait to dig in. What episodes were these pertaining to? Is this the Patsy Walker stuff?
Yes.
75th episode?
Yes. A date with Patsy Walker.
If I would have read the next one between the pages, congratulates us on our 75th episode. The 75th episode of the Marvel Superheroes podcast. We've obviously gone way beyond.
On an actual podcast.
Actual podcast, right. Our next
I'm in the midst of blowing out the back catalog of 8 years old material that we didn't get used previously. So that sort of slowed our progress on making new episodes, but we're still going to get some of that done.
Our next comment comes from Michael Wagner again.
The good thing too is we've got the Wasp movie coming out, so we could totally do a comic book about episode about the comic book Wasp ahead of that.
Okay, can I read this comment?
If you must.
Okay. Our next comment comes from Michael Wagner. Brayfogle did the bill of the art on the Thunderbolts and Avengers 2000 annuals. Some precedence for your cap is gay theory.
I think what it was is he was saying that Norm Brayfogle had done the art on both of the annuals that reintroduced Patsy Walker. The one where they did the fake out where they thought made you think they were going to resurrect Mockingbird when the Thunderbolts went to hell. And then the actual Avengers annual, it was about her and Centerville and all that kind of cool shit.
Okay. And then it was like he gave you some link to the cap is gay theory.
Yes. But it's, actually, we do occasional episode tumblers with the art, and we actually did feature the art that he was showing back to us. But I don't do it as often with Marvel Superheroes. We do it with every episode of Spawnometer. It just depends on the show and the spirit of it. I did a tumbler for the Patsy Walker episode, though.
Our next comment comes from Martin Gray. A handy, quote unquote. Well, you learn something every day.
Oh, he's referring to the hand job that Shag got in the movie theater at the end.
Right. Yeah. And he heavily promoted that on his Facebook page. And he goes, I don't even remember recording this. And I replied, if you remember, you probably wouldn't be putting it up on your Facebook.
Well, the funny thing is, you have to understand, that was the PG-13 edit of my conversation with Shag. There's so much worse shit that get veered into the X areas that was like the tame version of my conversation with Shag. I've got like reams of material,
probably
unfortunate use of word, that just will never be able to appear anywhere ever, because Shag. Unfiltered Shag, specifically.
The next comment comes from the Lonely Hearts Romance Comics Podcast. While you wait for the next episode to be edited, in this Lonely Hearts adjacent discussion, Diablo Frank edits together various conversations about old Patsy Walker comics with myself, the Rolled Spine crew, Fire and Water cohorts Ryan Daly, and the irredeemable Shag. Thank you for the shout out. Our next comment is from Brendan Wright. He said, "Hehe, it's amazing how the symbolic and the actual ain't the same. The girl on the cover is so pretty, yet in real life, face of those proportions would be grotesque." I don't know what that was referring to.
The cover of A Date with Patsy, the one-shot special from, like, 59.
Oh, I'd have to go check that again.
So as drawn by Al Hartley on that cover in real life, just like the whole Barbie thing where so many of the Barbie dimensions would be grotesque, so.
Yeah.
But as a doll, looks fine. The nature of caricature.
Oh, and this is all the Facebook stuff I was just talking about. Our next comment comes from Shag. "It's Patsy Walker. I appear on this episode of the Rolled Spine podcast with Diablo Frank, along with Ryan Daly and Siskoid. We discuss some of Patsy's classic adventures. In full disclosure, this was recorded several years ago, and I honestly have no idea what I might have said. Ha! To which Aaron Head Moss says, I'm sure in there you said she's hot, which I believe he did.
I actually cut a lot of instances of him doing that.
Gord Tolton said, your comment came in mighty handy, Shag. Very, very handy. I was just amazed that I think you actually embarrassed Frank. If he had a face, it would have been red. It was an excellent
show. I see what he did there, yeah.
Yeah. Our next comment comes from Shag. Oh, Lord, it was that recording? Wow, totally forgot about this discussion. Our next comment is...
It is funny, though, because all these guys think that this was years ago, and relative to the shit that we've putting out lately, that was actually fairly recent vintage. Most of that stuff was within a year's time recorded. Shag's just getting fucking old. It feels like years to him. Probably years.
The next comment on that thread was from Joshua Lapine Bertone. I pronounced that all wrong. I apologize. How could you? Haha, you know she's my second favorite Marvel character, and I've read 80% of her romance comic run. Oh, that sounds pretty cool. And the final comment is from Mike Shirley. My favorite Patsy story is the one where she keeps switching back and forth between romance and superhero drama. What was that from?
I'm not sure.
I wonder if that's one of the more recent Dillamajigs that we haven't read. And that's the mail.
Long-awaited mail. It's like funny because we did like this big recap and episode, and I was going to try to keep up with it on a regular basis, and then we like slipped for like 5 episodes straight plus. But hold on, yeah.
And finally, the Mary Marvel Marching Society, 20th Century Geek, 100 Issues, The 108th Sage, Bad at Shapirak, A Beardo Talks Film, Bobcat, Bumwine Bob, Bone Dragon Comics, Brody's Kitchen, Caroline Wells, Cash Flag, Chris Sheehan, The Cinebud Podcast, Comics in the Golden Age, Ed Moore at Till Productions, Fan Holes Podcast, The Gar Podcast, Harry Allen the Flash, He-Man and the Master of the Universe Podcast, History of Comics on Film Video Series, Ice in the Face Podcast, Infinite Monkey Comics, The Invisible Mannix, Jake and Tom Conquer Podcast, Jeffrey Brown, Joe Crawford, Just in Time Podcast, Justice First Dawn, Keith G. Baker, Pass Yef and Popcorn, Pietro Blaximoff, Rad Adventures Podcast Network, Randy Caldwell, Resurrections, and Adam Warlock and Thanos Podcast, Richard Field, Sassy Animal, Silver and Gold Podcast Network, Two Snaps Podcast, and Xenozoic Xenophiles.
The Marvel Superheroes Podcast is in no way affiliated with or endorsed by Marvel Entertainment. All characters mentioned and audio clips employed are believed covered under fair use, with no infringement intended against their copyright holders. Views expressed in this podcast are assumed legitimate, truthful, and solely possessed by the speaker.
Every Marvel Marching Society, march along, march along, march along to the song of the Merry Marvel Marching Society. If you growl, if you groan, and your star is merely zero, do not howl, do not moan, you can be a superhero marching right along to the fighting song of the Merry
We save that for another podcast. I really want to talk about that. I love that you love Captain America so much, and I love the first Avenger as well, but we need to do that podcast.
Okay, so we'll do who wore it better, that or Wonder Woman?
So, no, we're going to do that. What we normally,
first Avenger's better than Wonder
what
Woman.
What we normally do when we talk about movies, we also talk about the trailers that occurred in the movies, and I don't really remember any of the trailers from this movie, except for Black Panther.
Well, part of it was weird because they started without us, you know? They were doing trailers like 15 minutes before the movie came on.
Were they?
Before the actual movie was supposed to come on, though.
Were they?
Yeah, they're like trailers were playing when we got there when the screening was supposed to start.
So the Star Wars trailer looked like I'm going to watch it anyway. I mean, let's be fucking honest.
I liked it better in 3D. No, I liked the trailer better in 3D. I like those, like the dark reds and then the black of Kylo Ren's uniform. And I like, it seems like it has a stronger visual sense than the Abrams movie. I like Rian Johnson's visual approach to
the
that.
The darkness of it.
Yeah, but it has a little bit of a light 70s quality to it as well. So I'm curious to see if that actually is going to be the movie or that's just something for the trailer.
That movie's going
to
suck.
I think it's going to be better better than the first one.
I think so,
I'm pretty
too.
Confident.
No, well,
I
have the Force Awakens was
terrible. I think they learned their lesson.
No, they didn't learn jack shit.
They didn't learn jack shit.
They didn't learn a goddamn thing. No, I just think Rian Johnson's a better filmmaker and just I'm certainly a better writer than
J.J. Let's be honest. If you're going to remake another Star Wars movie, Empire's the one to go with.
But listen.
Oh, it's totally going to be the Empire of these movies.
But remember what I remember this from our Force Awakens podcast. It was like 3 hours long. I said, are we sure Mark Hamill can fucking act? And watching that trailer, I'm not so sure Mark Hamill can act.
Mark Hamill can act.
He can act.
We're going to find out.
He does an amazing voice actor.
Fucking different. Being a voice actor is totally different from you having to be Mark Hamill with a beard on screen. It's totally different.
I want to see a broken, grizzly, disenfranchised Luke. That's
okay,
what I want.
Well, we're going to see if he gives you that broken, disenfranchised feeling.
I think what's throwing you is the voice. Because he still sounds like kind of that squeaky 19-year-old playing Luke. You'd expect him to have more gravitas, but he still sounds like Luke
did. So if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's going to be a bad.
Well, hold on. Okay.